tell the truth.
That's Gingrich on Fox News. Much of the Eddie Gingrich rhetoric has been handled by a political action committee backing Romney. However, Romney is now using that same tone, including saying Gingrich had to resign from the House in disgrace over ethics violations, when in truth, one was not directly connected to the other. Bob Costantini, CNN Washington.
A combination of smoke and fog triggered a series of crashes early yesterday on Interstate 75 in North Florida. 10 people were killed. Officials in Pakistan say they haven't decided yet whether or not they'll pursue treason charges against a Pakistani doctor who allegedly helped the U.S. find Osama bin Laden. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta tells CBS's 60 Minutes the man did nothing wrong.
He was not in any way doing anything that would have undermined Pakistan. As a matter of fact, Pakistan and the United States have a common cause here against terrorism.
In Syria, a brutal government crackdown against protesters has left hundreds dead in recent weeks. The UN Security Council will take up a resolution this week that calls for Syria's president to step down. Oakland, California police say mass arrests over the weekend were the largest in city history. About 400 were taken into custody. The Occupy movement is asking for money to help them make bail. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had 3 extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from Account Temps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Account Temps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Account Temps, sir. Right after I cash my paycheck.
You?
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
We thought a giant gorilla was the perfect mascot for the big deals at OfficeMax. But the gorilla marketing sent us is the size of a hamster and is too scared to come down from our ink display. Well, he is about the size of the Duracell AA battery 10-pack you get free for buying $50 in national brand ink. Free batteries. That's a big deal. Our gorilla... not so much. Find all the big deals now at OfficeMax. Offer ends Saturday. Excludes Epson and OfficeMax for an ink and ink refill.
When Italy's Fiat purchased a controlling stake in Chrysler not long after its bankruptcy exit, few were making lofty predictions about Chrysler's future. That's changing. Wall Street Journal reports Chrysler is expected to announce this week 1,600 new jobs in Illinois, to be followed by thousands of new jobs at its factories over the next 3 years. It makes lawnmowers and motorcycles and cars and trucks, and soon Honda will be taking to the skies. It already has received more than 100 orders for its new 7-seat small business jet. It isn't even being delivered until next year, but today Honda's executive with its new aircraft division predicts that within a few years it will control a quarter of that small business plane market. Today, European leaders gather for yet another summit meeting at which it's expected they will announce creation of a new permanent bailout fund. But European stock markets are falling on fading hope more aggressive measures could be taken to contain the debt crisis. S&P futures are down 7 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Looking for a better way to grow your business? A Regions Cash Core analysis can help uncover ways to optimize your cash flow and improve your bottom line. It's all part of the better business banking experience we're building just for you. So, if you're ready for a bank with the insight and guidance to help grow your business, switch to Regions. Drop by a branch or visit regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
We wanted an impressive metaphor for the big deals at OfficeMax, like a huge... but, times being what they are, marketing sent an elephant 9 inches tall, riding a unicycle. Supposedly, he's a symbol for our tiny prices, like a full case of X9 paper this week only for just $24.99, regularly $41.99. You save $17. Find all the big deals now at OfficeMax. But please, don't step on our elephant. Offer is Saturday, available in-store only. Limit 2.
What's better than getting something for a great price? Getting two things for that same great price. What we're trying to say is, it's buy one, get one free at Pearle Vision. So stop in and get two great pairs of eyeglasses or prescription sunglasses for the price of one. You're thinking, that's a great deal. And you're right. So don't wait. Stop into a Pearle Vision today.
Minimum purchase may apply. Second complete pair up to a maximum value. Maximum may vary. Same prescription. Valid prescription required. Valid only at participating U.S. locations. See store for details. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends 3/31/2012.
Looking for a better way to grow your business? A Regions Cash Core Analysis can help uncover ways to optimize your cash flow and improve your bottom line. It's all part of the Better Business Banking experience we're building just for you. So, if you're ready for a bank with the insight and guidance to help grow your business, switch to Regions. Drop by a branch or visit regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Progressive. Favoring or advocating progress, change, improvement, or reform, as opposed to wishing to maintain things as they are. Conservative. Disposed to preserve existing conditions or institutions, or to restore traditional ones, and to limit change. First Shift with Tony Tribbiano. A rational path to follow in order to forge ahead, allowing for deliberate advancement and a way forward that benefits the entirety of society, while allowing a difference of opinion. Well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Now, here's Tony Tribbiano.
And good morning, one and all. It is a pleasure to be with you on this Monday, the 30th day of January, 2011. What the hell am I talking about? 2012. Happy to be with you. Truly happy to be with you. I got to tell you, as quickly as the weekend went by, and it did go by fast, I think that's going to be true when we talk to Jeff. Certainly, I feel that for Anthony. I got to tell you, because the weather has been so weird, I'm anxious for spring. I'm truly anxious for spring. My wife, actually, yesterday I was doing some work in the office getting ready for the show. Late morning, early afternoon, and one of my kids had called me and run out of gas, so I went outside, and I said, my grandson was over, and I said, hey, you know, where's Nona? And she's outside, so I went out there to tell her I was going to get him, pick him up, and she was cleaning the gutters out. It's a little cold for that, but hey, one less task I have to do in the spring. But it sure did make me long for spring. For those of you that got more than the dusting of snow we got, although it's very slick out there in some spots, sorry to hear that. We're supposed to get a little bit more snow on and off today, and then tomorrow the high will be 47 degrees. I just can't figure this out, but that's all right. Let's take a look at what we do have going on today. No storms in our forecast for today's show, but it should be interesting nonetheless. Joe Zerlag will be joining us. Zerlag is the Troy City Manager. And my purposes for wanting him on the show is for comfort reasons more than anything else. I had shared with you folks a story last week about Mayor Janice Daniels of Troy writing a letter to the city council that John Zerlag felt that he needed to correct in a lengthy response to her letter. It got me to thinking, how are things going in Troy? The city manager, of course, really does run the city. The mayor does not. That is good news for the people of Troy. But we need to have that conversation. We're going to have it on air, and we'll do that at 7 o'clock. At 7:50, of course, we will check in with Occupy Detroit. And then in the 8 o'clock hour, Mark Brewer joins us, the chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party. And our blog roll segment continues. This week's guest will be Christine Berry from Blogging for Michigan. With that said, let's get things going.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Well, the first word today is not a positive one. Disappointment. I guess depending on your perspective, if we're talking about weather, you might be disappointed with the lack of snow. Some people like a winter wonderland. This would not be that, would it? It's hard to even make snow in this kind of weather if you own a ski slope, but that'd be what it is. Disappointment that the Michigan Wolverines don't beat the Ohio State Buckeyes. Disappointment that the end of the football season will truly be over next Sunday when the Super Bowl is played. Disappointment that our Pistons really do suck as badly as they do. That the beginning of baseball season is still too many weeks away to begin the count. And that, the Detroit Red Wings, frankly, are doing well. But again, you know, we have been so spoiled by the Red Wings that it's all about the playoffs. So we're, you know, we've got to sit around and wait. And waiting sometimes can be, well, quite disappointing. But disappointment, if you are a believer that Mitt Romney should not be the nominee, disappointment when you look at the polling numbers that show that Newt Gingrich is falling very fast in the polls, and at this point will lose by double digits in Florida. Maybe, ending his run for the presidency. I wouldn't count on it, but a disappointment nonetheless. But not disappointing is my welcoming back the producer of First Shift, Mr. Jeff Radford. Good morning to you, sir. Another week of powerhouse stuff. And we, you know, we're working on some potentially explosive segments this week.
Yeah, it should be a pretty good booyah-type week. We don't know if we'll have... And what we'll have in store for the end of the week, but the beginning of the week certainly is kicked off in a good way. How was your weekend, by the way? Good morning.
Thank you. My weekend was quiet for the most part. I mean, I got a lot done. Saturday was an errands day, although I got a problem. As you know, Ann was in a car accident, and I picked up the car Saturday early afternoon, late morning, early afternoon, brought it home, and, you know, she started giving me the laundry list of things that are not right on it, so I'm going to have to take it back to the collision shop, which is just a pain in the butt. It's just a pain in the butt, but they didn't fix some of the stuff that needs to be fixed, and some of it was not fixed properly or to the standard that we would expect it to be fixed. So it's going to have to go back, so that was a little disappointing. And then, you know, I just got some errands done, made sure I got to the post office and all that happy stuff. So, you know, it was all right. I mean, you know, no complaints. And then yesterday, although I didn't realize it until after the fact, I spent more time prepping for today's show than I normally do on a Sunday. But just the way it worked out, it's not like it was a negative thing. You know, and again, I keep on reminding myself that in the warmer weather, of course, I do truly enjoy the outdoors, and the weekends are spent outside doing what I would be doing inside in the winter months. But, yeah, it was all right. How was your weekend?
Pretty easy going. Didn't do a whole lot, but didn't have to do a whole lot, which was nice. And then got a lot of stuff done that I just needed to get done around the house. So, yeah, nice and easy. Which is kind of crazy. Have you noticed the weather the last couple of days where, like, the mornings it'll snow and be cold and windy, and then the afternoon the sun comes out, feels like spring, melts all the snow, and I'm like, the change of the weather constantly day to day, and not even just day to day, hour to hour, really had me, like, my energy just gone. It was weird. I could get, like, 8-9 hours of sleep and then just be really tired the entire day. And I think I'm blaming it on the weather.
All right. Well, I did notice yesterday, and when it started to snow and then it continued to snow and then it continued to snow, I thought, oh, where's this coming from besides the sky, of course? I didn't know that we were supposed to get snow, and then I was told, listening, that it was going to be 1 to 2 inches. Well, we didn't get close to that where I live. I don't know about where you live, but it was awfully slick out there this morning. The sidewalks are, you know, really, really slick, and the car was frozen. Of course, it's awfully cold this morning as well. But tomorrow, Jeff, the high is supposed to be 47 degrees.
That's what I'm saying. Back and forth. Cold, warm. It was nuts. You know, and even yesterday. Yeah, like you said, you didn't know about snow coming, but then I kept on reading. At 4 o'clock, it's going to stop. But I'm looking out the window thinking, yeah, all right, we'll see. And then, sure enough, like 4 o'clock on the dot, where I was at least anyway, you just stopped snowing, warmed up a little bit, became slushy, and then out by me, they did a good job of taking care of the roads. It wasn't as slick as it was the one morning where I told you slid up onto the curb a little bit.
All right, well, Saturday, as I was out and about, and I was all over the place because I had a bunch of errands to run, some of the parts of town was snowing profusely. Other parts of town, the sun was shining brightly, and so it just depended where you were at and what time you were there. Go figure. You know, we end the month of January tomorrow, and then we're into February, and so if you want to start playing that game, you know, we basically have 8 more weeks of potential snow weather. Not bad, dude. Not bad at all. I mean, I can deal with that.
I think we're going to get hammered in February.
Oh, I believe that 100% with every cellular whatever I've got in my body. Absolutely. I think we are going to get hammered repeatedly. I agree. I don't think we're going to escape this. I remember one of the years I was in college, and I don't remember if it was my sophomore or my junior year, that we literally, and I went to Alma College, that we literally, at Alma, literally didn't get 3 inches of snow all winter long. For whatever reason, we just didn't get any snow that winter. And it, not everywhere in the state. It just happened to be there's a belt, and as everybody knows, there are different weather belts depending on where you live in the state. And that belt that year, just we did not get any snow, and it was we never got enough snow where it had to be shoveled there. And I just thought, wow, this is just so bizarre. But it is what it is, and you take it for what it's worth. I get. Every year, as a member of the media, because this started years and years and years ago, the Farmer's Almanac. I get that in the mail still as a member of the media. I've been, doing this 18, 19 years, whatever. And I always read with interest their winter forecast, Jeff. And this year's forecast was for a very cold, wet winter. Well, not so much. Although, I guess we can kind of say it's been wet because we've had a lot of rain this winter. If you stop and think about it, we've really had quite a bit of rain.
Oh, yeah. And that was the whole – when winter was supposed to start, we were just getting tons of rain instead of snow. And I was like, man, just keep it up. Hopefully it's just rain and not snow. But.
Well, even – whether it was at the beginning of last week where we had that one day where it was just pouring rain. I told you when I came into work that morning, when Anthony came in that morning, it was just pouring, coming down in buckets. And then the next day, of course, we get snow. It's like, come on. That's not that hard, Mother Nature. Figure it out. All right, we got to take a quick break here. Folks, you're always more than welcome to join us. Something on your mind, feel free to let us know. 888-552-3595, the Detroit Free Press, did a poll this weekend. That was published this weekend, and they asked the people in Detroit, who will be the next championship in sports? Now, okay, you're saying, why are you focusing on sports? Well, the reason is they broke it down by political party as well. So we'll see if Republicans and Democrats agree who will be the next sports champ in Detroit. I'm Tony Truppiano. Good morning to you. We'll take the break. We'll continue on 1310 WDTW right after this.
First chip with Tony Truppiano.
And so, but am I ready for the next level? Let me tell you, I hope I am the Tim Tebow of the Iowa caucuses.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. A couple of accidents out there causing some issues. Southbound 75 at Big Beaver, we have an accident there blocking the left lane. Traffic is backed up in behind that. Then 94 westbound at 696, we have an accident there blocking the two left lanes. Expect some pretty heavy delays. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service today, a chance of a rain-snow mix a little bit later on. Mostly cloudy, a high near 36. Tonight, chance of rain before 7 p.m., mostly cloudy, a steady temperature around 36. And then tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a chance of drizzle, a high in the upper 40s. Right now, it's barely 18 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Recently on First Shift,
Senator Gretchen Whitmer, who wrote a masterfully written commentary in the Detroit Free Press yesterday that is getting attention nationally. Why did you decide that it was time to come out and talk about this rampant sexism that's happening in the state legislature right now?
First, let me tell you, I appreciate your assessment of what's going on here, because, you know, this, like the bullying fight, was not something that involved me directly. But when you see this type of behavior, I think it's incumbent on anyone as a top elected official, especially me on this issue as the top woman in the legislature, to say this is beyond the pale. Now, I knew when I stood up and called it out that there would be a backlash, but I'm raising two little girls in my household, my daughters. I'm trying to ensure that they're strong, confident, substantive young women in training, and when I tell them this type of behavior would be unacceptable at school, it sure as heck is unacceptable at the highest levels of our government.
First Shift with Tony Trivia on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the Daily Poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after 6 o'clock, it is a Monday morning. Thanks for punching in this morning. The Detroit Free Press and WXYZ TV, along with Epic MRA, did a poll, and lots of issues were discussed. We're going to talk about some of them in this hour. But one of them, Jeffrey Radford, had to deal with who the poll respondents thought would be the next Detroit area sports team, a professional sports team, to win a championship. Would you like to? Oh, I've already told you, but would you? We'll let you take a guess at some of the other results. But what does it surprise you that the Red Wings came in first?
No, not at all. There's just that kind of organization where they're constantly. In fact, I heard somebody say it on the radio the other day, and I agree. I mean, the you always hear sports teams talk about the window of an opportunity to get it in a championship. And especially with the Tigers going after Prince lately, they think they want this window, you know, as quickly as possible while Ilitch is still alive, kind of thing, to win a championship. But if you think about it, the Wings window is like 20 years open now. I mean, for 20 years, they've been a top team and a chance to win every year almost.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Do you want to take a guess at who was number two on the list?
The Tigers. The Tigers
agree. Yep, absolutely. With 25%, of course, the Lions would be next at 17%, and 2% actually picked the Pistons.
Is it just the four major sports?
Four
teams?
Major sports. Teams.
Okay, so I was wondering where college football would fall, or college basketball.
That wasn't asked at all. But they actually break this down not only by age but by political affiliation, and the support for the Rings was evenly spread, drawing 45% of Republicans, 43% of Independents, and 40% of Democrats. So when it comes to sports, pretty evenly divided, or I should say, pretty evenly in agreement. According to Bernie Porn, who we've had on this very show from Epic MRA, if anything transcends politics and sports, he said, usually you can find where Republican Democrats will talk to each other is at a ball game or a hockey game. And that's probably true. Anyway, optimism for the Wings who stood atop the NHL standings heading into the All-Star break also transcended other differences, placing them first among men and women, blacks and whites, union members, and Tea Party supporters.
The poll of 600 voters from across Michigan was taken January 21st through 25th, and has a margin of error of plus or minus 4 percentage points. I do want to point out, Jeff, that that period of time where they did the polling was right when they announced Prince Fielder was going to be signed to the Tigers. I don't know that that would have necessarily changed the result much, because 45% to 25%, there's a 20 percentage point. I don't know that he gets that. I don't think he bumps it 20%.
They would have been on the day. If they would have asked these people on the day that that happened, just thoughts and feelings about the Tigers were sky high that day.
Well, it did. It actually, part of that day, it was in that window that it happened, so that they announced it. I just don't think it was, not everybody follows, I hate to say this, Jeff, not everybody follows sports. I know that's hard to believe. I know.
And a little bit silly.
No, but it is.
As the article says, it's where people conversate. That's not even a word. Conversate. Is conversate a word?
No, but if it'll make you feel better, I'll let you go with
that's
it.
That's why I would change it to converse.
Okay. Well, the article points out that we transcend. Politics transcends issues of sports. People get excited about sports. We'll see. All right. Very quickly, we'll get to our first shift poll question of the day. It came up this weekend again, the bridge, the infamous Canadian bridge. The governor wants it. Certainly most people on the left want it. Republicans don't want the bridge, and we know why they don't want it. We do know why they don't want it. So the question remains, do you support the bridge? And the early results on our First Shift Facebook page are evenly split. 4 voters, 2 yes, 2 no. Nolan Finley, if you go to the Detroit News website, you're going to read his article or his opinion piece that basically says that the governor should trade the bridge for right to work. Of course, I couldn't be more opposed to that. Also want to thank everybody who we reached out to you folks on Friday asking you to like our Facebook page. And we had 10 people on Friday do that. And I want to thank you. So we are now up to 907, 93 away from that elusive 1,000. Our May 2nd will be our one-year anniversary on air. So I'm hoping that, we get to that elusive 1,000 before then, which can easily be done. But, hey, that's up to you. Also want to point out, and this is kind of disappointing, but Governor Snyder announced on Friday. Why on Friday? Well, we'll get to that in a minute. But the governor announced on Friday that the Highland Park Schools will be appointed an emergency manager. He confirmed that an emergency manager in Highland Park Schools was appointed, and he appointed certified public accountant Jack Martin to take over the troubled district. Martin's appointment is effective today. The move was not unexpected after a review team recently recommended appointment of an emergency manager, citing the growth of the school district's deficit to $11.3 million, among other factors. Martin, founder and chairman of Martin, Arrington, Desai, and Myers PC, is the former chief financial officer of the U.S. Department of Education. He is also part of the review team examining whether an emergency manager is needed in the city of Detroit. And according to Governor Snyder, quoting him, "I'm confident Mr. Martin is well suited for the post and will work quickly and efficiently to address the financial emergency faced by Highland Park Schools." Of course, our good friend David Hecker, Michigan president of the American Federation of Teachers, issued a statement promising to work with Martin, and this is what David had to say. "Our hope," he is quoted as saying, "is that Jack Martin works collaboratively with teachers, staff, and the community, as everyone has a stake in ensuring that the students of Highland Park are our top priority." No question that would be true. But there we go, and another emergency manager has been appointed. Now we'll start it. Now we'll continue after the break. Amongst the things that WXYZ Free and the Free Press polled with Epic MRA last week was where we as citizens stand on the emergency manager law. And I think that you're going to be surprised with the results. Again, I'll get into these in greater details. I'll get into the results in greater details after the break. But you need to keep in mind that, we represent a point of view. And if you're only listening to the show, which I appreciate, you're only getting, you're getting the truth, which is why you're going to feel the way you feel. And we're going to get into this in greater detail. We also have some audio that we want to get to as well. Don't forget, tomorrow is the big Florida primary. Newt Gingrich falling quickly in the polls in Florida. Does that mean that his potential there is dead? We'll discuss that. You might be surprised by the results that are going on there as well. 888-552-3595. Good morning to you all. It's a pleasure to be with you on this Monday, January 30th. We'll take the break. We'll be right back. Stay with us. You're listening to 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This total traffic update brought to you by McDonald's. Got several accidents out there. Southbound 75 Big Beaver. Traffic is only getting by in the right lane. Traffic is backed up all the way to Crooks. Northbound Southfield Freeway before Grand River. Got a vehicle fire there blocking the right lane. Then 94 westbound at 696. An accident there blocking two lanes as well. I'm Russ with traffic.
Stop by McDonald's today to enjoy the new crispy, juicy goodness of the poppable Chicken McBites. Made with tender, all-white meat, marinated and coated with home-style seasoning to satisfy your appetite. They won't last long, so try our new Chicken McBites today. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, mostly cloudy, a high near 36, a chance of a rain snow mix a little bit later on as well. Tonight, mostly cloudy, chance of rain, steady temperature right around 36, and then tomorrow, it's going to get mild, mostly cloudy, a high near 47, a chance of drizzle in there as well. Right now, it's fair and 18 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining us now, Hanson Clark. If the governor were to call you today and say, hey, Congressman, what is the number one priority I should be focusing on? What would you tell him?
Putting people back to work in this state. That's the ultimate goal. That's what we need. People are feeling very financially insecure. There are folks who are out of work right now. That's why I flew back to Washington, D.C. before Christmas to make sure that we had some unemployment benefits that were extended.
First Shift with Tony Triano
on 1310 WDTW.
Already, four of the GOP presidential contenders have had to drop out. Michelle Bachmann because she was too wacky. John Huntsman because he was too sane. Herman Cain because he was too exposed. And Rick Perry because he was too dim-witted. But the greatest surprise is the sudden surge of the Adelson campaign. Little known until now, Adelson was the big winner in South Carolina, is way out front in Florida, and looks to have the political kick needed to go the distance. Ever heard of the Adelson campaign? It's the married duo of Sheldon and Miriam, neither of whom are actually on the ballot. Rather, they are running on the cash ticket. Sheldon Adelson, a Las Vegas-based global casino baron, has long been a major funder of far right-wing causes, and he's Newt Gingrich's very special political pal. When Newt's presidential bid nearly flatlined after his electoral collapses in Iowa and New Hampshire, Sheldon rushed in with emergency CPR. Cash-powered resuscitation. This one rich guy wrote a $5 million check to Gingrich's super PAC, which is named Winning Our Future. The PAC injected Sheldon's money directly into toxic attack ads against Mitt Romney in South Carolina's primary, jolting Newt's campaign back to life. However, Gingrich still lacked the financial vitality to match Romney's media buy in Florida's pricey primary. No worries, though. Miriam Adelson stepped in to infuse Winning Our Future with another $5 million jolt of CPR. The Gingrich campaign, you see, is a vessel for the Edelman campaign. And word is that this one power couple is preparing to spend another $10 million to make their boy the GOP nominee, with more to come if he's the one to run against President Obama. This is Jim Hightower saying, forget Winning Our Future. The ultra-rich Adelsons are buying our future.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
And hey, welcome back. 35 minutes after the hour. Very quickly, Michigan voters are split on whether the state should keep its controversial emergency manager law for cities and school districts, according to the Free Press WXYZ TV Channel 7 poll. And they would rather see a negotiated solution to Detroit's financial crisis than to have Governor Rick Snyder appoint an emergency manager. Snyder also has advocated for the negotiated solution as well. As expected, Republicans support the controversial emergency manager law approved by the legislature in 2011 more than Democrats. White people like the law more than black people do, and men like it more than women, the poll shows. Asked whether they would vote to keep the law in a referendum that could appear on the November 6th ballot, 45% said no and 42% said yes, with the rest undecided or refusing to say. Or refusing to say is really interesting to me. That's essentially a tie because the poll has a margin of error plus or minus 4 percentage points. I think that's surprising, don't you? I mean, I really do. Asked about how Detroit's financial problems should be addressed, half want a consent agreement. About 31% favor an emergency manager. Another 50% say Detroit should solve its own problems, and the remainder were undecided or, again, refused to say. Or refused to say. I just find that really interesting. I don't know. Brandon Jessup, who is chairman of Michigan Forward, who's been on this show many, many times, the group collecting signatures to put the repeal of the law on the ballot, said the results show his group has work to do, too. We want to see an overwhelming majority defeat the law, Jessup said. We don't want to slip by a simple majority. The group, which needs little more than 160,000 valid signatures, has set up a 250,000 signature goal and is closing in on 200,000. It plans to file its petition in late February or early March, and they will be able to accomplish that. So that's what's going on there. Jeff, are you surprised by those numbers that 45 to 42% favor the emergency manager law?
Yeah, that does sound surprising. I wonder, though, is that because maybe it's because the people who would respond to such a thing, to a poll done like this, would be more in favor than people who don't necessarily respond to polls like this?
Well, it's, you know, it's, that's a great question. I mean, they do 600 random, so it's pretty random. Now, again, not everybody answers the poll, you're right. I mean, if, you know, you don't want to answer, you'd, what, hang up, right? I would guess that's what happens.
Right.
So, you know, and then they have, there are certain things, because we did a poll here some months back, and there are certain leading questions, and I don't mean that in a negative way, that you asked that could disqualify you from the poll, and I don't know if this survey had that or not. But, yeah, 45 to 42%, again, with the margin of error, that's pretty much even. All right. You know, we've been focusing on, and, of course, on the Facebook page, the First Shift Facebook page, we do post a lot of stuff on what's happening with the Wayne County Executive Bob Ficano and the Turquia Mullen severance scandal story, which now encompasses a multitude of people. You now need a scorecard to figure it out. Anyway, Channel 7 this weekend decided to give us an update on what's going on in Wayne County, and this is what they had to say.
We're promised generous separation agreements in exchange for staying with the county instead of taking an early retirement buyout that was offered to others. Action News has learned those appointees were in line to receive payments as high as about $80,000 if they decided to stay with the county until at least February 1st, 2012. After Action News exposed the Mullen severance scandal, Ficano rescinded the other separation agreements. But sources tell us several of those appointees protested, and now the county could have to pay the money. As the February 1st deadline approaches, Action News has learned that county officials are weighing whether or not they'll be obligated to pay the severance, which could total nearly $850,000.
Unless there's something about the underlying arrangement that's not enforceable, I think the county's employees are going to win. They're going to get their money. they made a deal. It's called a breach of contract.
Employment attorney Deborah Gordon says Fecano alone cannot simply just undo the deals.
Just another example of the taxpayers ending up holding the bag with some bizarre, you know, machinations that went on for political purposes and that are now off for political purposes. And either way, the taxpayer gets stuck. Except for now, the taxpayer is also going to have to pay for whatever time is spent in court and the costs and expense of litigation if they decide to fight this.
Fecano's press secretary will only say there are a lot of talks going on about the separation deals, but nothing has been decided yet. I'm Heather Cataldo, 7 Action News.
Yeesh. I got to tell you, this is just a nightmare. Yes, you can have it, but we don't want anybody to know about it, so we secretly do it. Well, then people find out about it, so we're going to take it away from you, only to find out that legally we can challenge you again, breach of contract, which makes sense. So, yeah, we are going to have to give it to you. None of that, I don't think, is illegal. It may fall under the unethical category, but I don't think any of it is illegal. That's not to say that there weren't illegal activities going on, because, as we know, the FBI is doing an investigation, and we are not privy to the results of that investigation, no matter what level they are at with that investigation right now. Very interesting stuff. Very interesting stuff indeed. All right, so that's it for local stuff. And again, tomorrow is the Florida primary. If you've been watching as closely as I have been, you know that Newt Gingrich is falling quickly in the polls. Now at a double-digit disadvantage with Mitt Romney really pulling away at this point. And depending on who you're listening to, and God knows this weekend there was plenty to listen to, there's still a lot of name-calling going on, including between Mitt and Newt. And a lot of it centers around the financial windfall of Mitt Romney, who is now we know is worth well over $200 million. And how he's made that money, well, has been, depending on who you are and how much you care, quite controversial. Well, in the debate, the Florida debate, the other day, Mitt Romney, had his fair share to say about Newt Gingrich and the blind trust. And let's listen to that, and then we'll get to the counterpoints as well.
Governor Romney, in the spirit of openness, should tell us how much money he's made off of how many households that have been foreclosed by his investments.
First of all, my investments are not made by me. My investments for the last 10 years have been in a blind trust, managed by a trustee. Mr. Speaker, I know that sounds like an enormous revelation, but have you checked your own investments? You also have investments through mutual funds that also invest in Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
All right.
So, you know, then whether that's true or not is something we'll come back to. This is what Mitt Romney had to say on his blind trust back in 1994.
The blind trust is an age-old ruse, if you will, which is to say you can always tell the blind trust what it can and cannot do. You give a blind trust rules.
All right. So there we go. Jeff, you know, the question And I don't know. Listen, at this point, they have to go after each other. You know, is one any worse or any better than the other? That's the real. At this point, who really cares? They're both doing quite well. Mitt Romney, admittedly, doing a whole lot better than quite well. But it's not like Newt Gingrich is living in squalor and poverty somewhere.
No, and it's funny because they're going after each other for things that each other does. So They attack things that they think people would be outraged by, and yet they both do them. So you would be outraged by everything that both guys do, which is kind of funny because, you know, as some people start to think, man, they're really killing themselves publicly in the court of opinion, or in public opinion, and maybe they should just, get nicer to each other just so that the GOP doesn't kill themselves before they get to the election.
Well, it's not that there aren't some that wouldn't like them to be nicer to each other. John McCain, in fact, yesterday talked about maybe it's time we stop the debates and all the negative ads. This is what he had to say yesterday.
I think any of our candidates can, but you just showed the numbers up there. We've got to stop the debates. Enough with the debates. because they are driving up our candidates, all of them, unfavorabilities. We've had enough of that. They've turned into a mud wrestling instead of exposition of the candidates' views on the issues. We've had enough of that. And it's time to recognize who the real adversary is, and that's not each other.
What about the negative advertising? I mean, this is the growth of the super PAC in this race. Do you condemn those as well on all sides?
I can condemn them on all sides, and I condemn the United States Supreme Court for their naivety in the Citizens versus United a decision, which is an outrage. Now we have a casino owner and his wife, $10 million.
Sheldon Adelson.
Into the race. He makes a lot of his money out of Macau. We have on both sides, we have these incredible amounts of money, and I guarantee you there will be a scandal. There is too much money washing around politics, and it's making the parties irrelevant.
The last few words of that statement may be, and again, that is as bipartisan statement as you're going to get, the making the political parties irrelevant. And John McCain may be right. I mean, this is more than a little bit out of control. I mean, a lot more than a little bit out of control. And we're talking about, you know, upwards of 10 to 12 to $14 million being spent in a week's period of time in Florida. And very little of that money is coming from the campaign itself. It's all coming from these super PACs. By the way, a woman married a building this week to prove that, yes, even corporations are people. I'm not exaggerating. Google it. You'll see I'm right. More to get to, including the Donald being back in the news. That's right, Donald Trump. We'll get to that and more. 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org and on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. Let's take the break. We'll continue on 1310 WDTW right after this.
It'd be like Hitler playing golf with Netanyahu, okay?
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift.
Let's go to Rachel Maddow. She does an amazing job of reporting the truth.
My personal nomination for the single most radical thing implemented by any Republican legislature and governor is what happened in Michigan. It's Michigan's expanded emergency financial manager law. It allows Rick Snyder, the state's Republican governor, to essentially, effectively, abolish all local voting rights. Congratulations, Michigan.
First Shift with Tony Trivio
on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
So, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
I'm getting married on Sunday. It's going to be a gay wedding. It's at 1 p.m. And the plan is to show the community why I love this building, because it's 107 years old. It's 107 years old. It was where this is the auto road district where the first car was sold in Seattle in 1905. And I'm just trying to show the community how much I love it and how much we need community space, because I was arrested a few months ago in this warehouse trying to reclaim it as a community center. And we need more togetherness. We need more collaboration, and I'm doing this to show the building how much I love it, how much I love community space, and how much I love this neighborhood, and I want to stop it from gentrification.
You think it's...
All right. I, what I'm trying to figure out is, she said at the very beginning of that, that this it's a gay wedding?
I know. I still am trying to figure. I think she's basically saying it's a work of art, and most times you, like, you know, you name a boat. Okay, it's my boat. She's a thing of beauty, or this building is a thing of beauty, so it's a woman. I'm guessing that's why she went that route.
Okay, well, I appreciate your putting that thought to it. I didn't go there, but okay, I'll buy that. I just thought her characterization was a little odd, that's all. Not that marrying a building isn't a little odd, because frankly it is. Okay. You know, we talked last week about this whole Newt Gingrich inferring that the Spanish language was the language of the ghetto. He says he never said Spanish. Chris Wallace, who has been a little tougher on the Republican candidates of late, as Jeff pointed out to me this morning, sat down with Newt Gingrich, and this is how their dialogue went over that particular topic.
But isn't the basic charge he made in that ad true?
I never used the word Spanish in the conversation. I was giving a speech talking about the importance of everybody learning English. There are 94 languages in Miami-Dade College. I gave this talk the other day to students from Miami-Dade with the president of Miami-Dade there, and they all nodded yes. And I said, we don't want anyone trapped, anyone. This was not a reference to any one language. We don't want anyone trapped in America not able to speak English, because English is the language of commercial success. English is the language that gives you a better job. Now, he turned that on its head and basically suggested something that was simply plain not true.
Now, Mr. Speaker, right. You're quite right. You never said the word Spanish, but Spanish is, in fact, by far the language that's most widely spoken in this country, and after there was an uproar about it, you apologized for your comments in Spanish.
That's right. And I did so deliberately because it had been taken out of context. And if you look at my apology, I tried to make quite clear there was not a reference to Spanish. First of all, when you talk about, as you know well, the ghetto originally was a term for Jewish neighborhoods in the Middle Ages. The question was whatever your language background, this is a country that has over 200 languages. And frankly, Spanish is the least isolated because it has the largest number of people who speak it.
Okay. Well, you know, that resolves nothing, of course, but appreciate Chris Wallace making the attempt. All right. So we've got the Republican, the Joe DeSano's Republican on Republican violence, and there's been a lot of it, especially at the national level. And we just don't know, the Republicans are happy with the people that are running. And we've got enough reasons to suggest that, you know, had they had other choices that they don't at this point, that maybe they would go in that direction. This is why you don't see a candidate doing, you know, we have yet to see a race, a primary race or a caucus race, where somebody got more than 50% a plurality. Interesting enough. So Donald Trump has, you know, Donald Trump, who's an asshat anyway, just can't leave well enough alone, can't let the process kind of play out the way it's supposed to, decides that, you know, if things stay the way they are, he just might have to get involved. This is what he had to say.
Well, I am thinking about it, Bob. We'll see what happens. This is a very critical time for this country. The country is going to hell in a handbasket. What's going on is unbelievable.
So if you ran, would you try to get into the Republican race, or would you run as an independent?
It would have to be as an independent. I would be precluded. And, you know, sadly, I'm precluded from running now because of the show. If I didn't have the show, I probably would have maybe just kept going because I was doing well, as you know, as leading in the polls.
What's going on now that you don't like about this race? What would cause you to do this?
Well, first of all, it's a very nasty race. I've never seen anything like this. It's Republican against Republican, and yet the level of hatred, I guess you could say, I mean, there's no other word for it, is unbelievable. And the question is, are they hurting themselves? Are they hurting the party? Are they hurting the Republicans? And are they hurting their chances of winning an election against Barack Obama? And probably the answer is yes, other than there's a possibility that with all of the press and all of the media attention and, you know, keep going, somebody's going to emerge, and maybe they're going to emerge much stronger. So we'll have to see. Only time will tell. But it's very possible that they're hurting themselves.
That is just precious. As you know, Jeff, I was ahead in the polls. Well, so was Rick Perry at one point. So was everybody at one point.
He just got, according to him, he got out when he was on top. So that way, at least he has an excuse, right?
Oh, this guy's so full of himself. But listen, if I was worth however much he's worth, I don't know. He's even worth more than Mitt Romney, right? I think so. I'm sure he is. I just don't get, you know, the ego involved. The ego involved in that guy. Can't imagine what it's like to work for him. Can't imagine what it's like to be around him. Can't imagine, obviously, what it's like to be married to him, and nor will I ever know that. I find this guy just absolutely delusional. I don't see him as a legitimate contender. But it is interesting because at one point he really was. He did poll well, but this was before, I mean, this was long before we were seriously doing politicking. And I don't know. I think that he's like that accident that you're just forced to watch. As gruesome as it is, you can't take your eyes off it. I think that's Donald Trump for the most part.
If he runs independent, does that mean he has to use his own money?
No.
No, he can still raise it.
Oh, he can still raise as much money as he wants.
It's a little harder, though, because he doesn't have one party backing him.
Well, yeah, I mean, it would be a little harder, but he's Donald Trump. You know, he would be committing millions of his own dollars to doing this. You know, he wouldn't be the first independent to run. He wouldn't be the first one to spend their own money on a political presidential campaign. I just don't, you know, he can't win. So that he would do this again just further entrenches whatever his ego needs to survive, to thrive, because God knows this guy is egocentric. No question about it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a great hour in the next hour, so we're gonna switch gears, and we're going to go work on that. The city manager of Troy will join us. He has a compelling story. I'm concerned about Troy, but I think that once we talk with the city manager, we might all feel a little better about what's happening there. Occupy Detroit will be with us as well. Mark Brewer a little later on. Christine Berry as well. We got a lot to do. Happy to be with you. This is First Shift. Thanks for punching in this morning. We'll take the break and be back after this top of the hour break.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Well, some good news here this morning. We are clear of all accidents, including the 194 westbound at 696, so you don't have to worry about that any longer. We do have some heavier traffic southbound 75 between 12 Mile and 8 Mile. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service today, mostly cloudy, a chance of a rain-snow mix a little bit later, a high in the mid-30s. Tonight, temperature stays the same, mostly cloudy, a chance of rain. Temperature will stick around 36. And then tomorrow, mostly cloudy, it'll warm into the upper 40s. A chance of drizzle in there as well. Right now it's fair and 18 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9, right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Cheryl Castro. A dense smoke advisory continues this morning for parts of I-75 in North Florida. CNN's Matt Cherry reports a mix of smoke and fog is blamed for a series of accidents yesterday that killed 10 people.
Rolled my window down and actually started hearing thuds and crashes.
Driver Bert Thomas describing the incredibly scary scene. Poor visibility led to a virtual demolition derby involving at least 12 passenger cars and 7 semi-trucks. Steve Camps was injured and considers himself lucky to have survived.
My worst fear was that one of those cars were going to veer off into the grass and maybe hit me and my friend because you can't see anything.
The low visibility prompted the interstate's closure earlier in the evening, but it was later reopened before the crashes occurred. Matt Cherry, CNN.
Republican presidential frontrunners Mitt Romney and Newt Gingrich took a short break Sunday from attacking one another to focus instead on President Obama. Speaking to supporters in Florida, Romney compared Obama's presidency to the movie Groundhog Day.
He keeps saying the same thing again and again and again. We keep waking up and we have the same problems day after day after day.
Rick Santorum has canceled all remaining events in Florida. He'll look ahead to the Western primaries and caucuses next month. President Obama's looking to connect more with voters. He'll take part later today in a Google Plus Hangout chat room. The White House says Obama will answer several of the most popular questions submitted through YouTube. Occupy protesters in D.C. face a noon deadline today. Pack up your camp or go to jail. Many are refusing to budge. The Screen Actors Guild handed out 3 awards to The Help last night, including Viola Davis for Best Actress.
What is there but a dream? You can't trade in your dream for another dream. I am so proud to be an actor.
For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
One thing I've learned on my journey to help save people money on car insurance is that folks across the country like convenience. And what could be more convenient than visiting Geico.com? We can manage your policy, pay your bill online, just about anything you need. And it's open 24/7. It's kind of like popping into the ultimate convenience store. Except we save people money. And we don't have beef jerky.
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com to see how much you could save. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
My game plan for big game entertaining? Sam's Club.
Member Casey Harrison.
We save on all the snacks, all the drinks, even a sharp 60-inch LED TV. So on game day, the best seats in the house are gonna be in my house.
Not a member? Start your new Sam's Club Plus membership now through February 5th and score extra points with a $20 gift card. Then make saving part of your game plan all year long.
Great prices, great selection, great party. In my book, that's a win-win-win.
Sam's Club. Savings made simple.
The long-awaited initial stock offering by Facebook could happen this week. Wall Street Journal says paperwork could be filed Wednesday and could value Facebook as a $100 billion company. That would make it on par with McDonald's. Facebook would hope to raise as much as $10 billion from the filing, which would make it the 4th biggest IPO ever. For the 17th time in 24 months, leaders in the European Union are meeting for a summit today. Tops on the agenda is whether to create a permanent bailout fund for struggling nations in the eurozone. But stock indexes in Europe are falling as investors bet nothing bold to tackle the debt crisis will emerge from the meetings. S&P futures are down, losing 7 points. NASDAQ futures off 14. At the Detroit Auto Show, Chrysler showed off the resurrected Dodge Dart nameplate for the 2013 model year. Wall Street Journal reports Chrysler is adding 1,600 new workers at its Illinois factory to build the Dodge Dart. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Looking for a better way to grow your business? A Regions Cash Core Analysis can help uncover ways to optimize your cash flow and improve your bottom line. It's all part of the better business banking experience we're building just for you. So, if you're ready for a bank with the insight and guidance to help grow your business, switch to Regions. Drop by a branch or visit regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
We wanted an impressive metaphor for the big deals at OfficeMax, like a huge... But times being what they are, marketing sent an elephant 9 inches tall, riding a unicycle. Supposedly, he's a symbol for our tiny prices, like a full case of X9 paper this week only for just $24.99, regularly $41.99. You save $17. Find all the big deals now at OfficeMax. But please, don't step on our elephant. Offer is Saturday. Available in-store only. Limit 2.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had 3 extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from Accountemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Accountemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Accountemps, sir. Right after I cash my paycheck.
You?
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
We thought a giant gorilla was the perfect mascot for the big deals at OfficeMax. But the gorilla marketing sent us is the size of a hamster and is too scared to come down from our ink display. Well, he is about the size of the Duracell AA battery 10-pack you get free for buying $50 in national brand ink. Free batteries. That's a big deal. Our gorilla... Not so much. Find all the big deals now at OfficeMax. Offer in Saturday. Excludes Epson and OfficeMax for an ink and ink refill.
Change mandates vision. Vision mandates intelligence. Intelligence mandates thought, and thought demands attention. As we look for leadership that demonstrates courage and conscience, we ask the deliberate question that provides the path to truth. That question is, are you ready for change? And if you are you ready for First Shift with Tony Trupiano?
And welcome, everybody. It is 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Monday, the 30th day of January 2012. You know, we ask ourselves the question in that open, are you ready for change? And in this first segment, you know, that question would maybe be answered a little differently than are you ready for a radio show, which certainly isn't. Can be life-affirming, but it certainly isn't going to rock your world. If you, of course, live in a municipality where you ask that question, are you ready for change? As we find out in the city of Troy, there has been a great deal of change over the last few months. And so I have been very concerned. As many of you know, I care deeply about the city of Troy. I see them as an important spoke in the machinery, the economic machinery that makes Southeast Michigan the strong, vibrant business visionary that it is as a region. And so you start to get concerned when a lot of negative information comes out of any municipality. It just happens to be Troy in this case. I'm going to get to more specifics on this in just a moment. But certainly as we talk about being ready for change, sometimes, you know, it's that old cliche, be careful what you wish for you may just get it. Change, of course, is what we're talking about. A little later on this hour, we'll check in with Occupy Detroit, as we do every day at 7:50. And, of course, we've got a little time to visit with you if you would like to join us. Open lines, that's coming up in just a little bit on the show, so you'll want to stay tuned for that. Let me now turn my attention and continue with the dialogue. As I was talking about the city of Troy, as a community... As a business community, they're responsible for a vast number of jobs. The city itself, many corporations call the city of Troy their corporate headquarters, a home. They have worked hard for many decades, in fact, to build a foundation on which the people of the city of Troy, that municipality, has worked hard to create that environment. There has been a great deal of negativity, unfortunately, that's come since the election of Mayor Janice Daniels. But as we have pointed out on this show repeatedly, she is what's called a weak mayor. She does not have anything more than a single vote. But with that said, a story broke last week that made a lot of papers that city manager John Zerlag was felt it important to right some wrongs, that she had been out there. In fact, she had written a letter on January 7th. He wanted to counter that because he felt that it didn't just affect the community but was affecting his own personal reputation. And John Zerlag, the city manager of Troy, joins us now to kind of give us, in a way, I guess, a state of the city address, if you will. And John, I want to thank you for giving us of your time this morning, and I do appreciate you appearing on the show.
Well, thank you, Tony. And in terms of the state of the city of Troy, as you mentioned, has what's known as a council-manager form of government, which is much different than that of a strong mayor. A strong mayor form of government could be found in cities like in the area, Detroit, Flint, Pontiac, Warren. Most other cities have a council-manager form of government, and the best way to explain it is that it was patterned after the superintendent of schools, where essentially a volunteer body becomes a school board of trustee, and they select a professional to be the superintendent. In much the same manner, in the council-manager form, the voting residents select the mayor and council, and they in turn select a professional to run the city, so that my direct reports are the police chief, the fire chief, the HR director, all the finance divisions, and all of the service divisions.
And if people, you know, and again, John, you need to, and I'm sure you do understand, because there has been such a massive amount of negative publicity surrounding the city, and of course, one of the things that that kind of polarized people and really got them focusing on Troy was the transit center, or I should say, turning down that initial vote that turned down the federal funding for the transit center. Placed a lot of attention not only on the city but on the mayor. One of your major employers said, hey, listen, if this is the way you folks are going to do business, you know, we really need to look at maybe doing business elsewhere. That's what really, John, kind of picked my interest. And as a city manager, I'm sure it did more than just pick your interest as well.
That's correct. But I want to start off by saying that as city manager, what I do and what I have my staff do is to become essentially advocates of any policies that are advanced by the mayor and council. And the mayor and council, they can only speak with any authority through the resolutions and ordinances that they pass. And that's because, again, because of our government, any individual person, although the mayor and council members essentially are spokespersons on behalf of the city, they can't tell the manager or any staff members what to do. And given that philosophy of advocacy for what city council legislates, for the past 10 years at least, the city acquired a piece of property known as the transit center through what's known as a consent judgment with a developer. So the developer could actually build a shopping mall and housing on property that was zoned industrial. And part of that consent judgment was to have the developer remit about 2.5 acres of property for an enhanced transit center that would be a gateway actually to both Troy and Birmingham, although Birmingham dropped out, and would attract businesses, would attract younger employees who like to rely more on public transportation. And again, because it was in the works for 10 years and there was essentially an abrupt change to not have transit money because essentially of an ideology, that did spawn a lot of interest in the community.
Well, no question. And, of course, in the interim, you know, a new plan has passed, and I think that we more proactively, John Zerlag, move forward the city in the city of Troy. And again, I really think that just based on the interaction I've had with my audience and their concern over what's happening in Troy, I had said on the show one day last week, my concern was as a result of what may be, and I don't want to speak for you, John, but maybe some difficulties dealing with the current mayor and council, that your institutional memory, which for me is critical to Troy staying vibrant, would disappear if you were to, you know, maybe look at opportunities elsewhere. What I'm saying is that you would leave your job. That would be devastating for the city of Troy. Listen, all transitions, and this is not the first mayor you've gone through, This is not the first change in council, John, that you've gone through, but I would have to think that this has probably been the most difficult transition you've had to deal with.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say I did work with about seven mayors as a city manager in three different cities and about over 41 or 42 council members. So I've pretty much seen a plethora of different personality types that a government body takes on. And this is absolutely the most challenging.
And again, because, and am I wrong by saying that Troy is an important, I mean, a critical cog in the economic engine of Southeast Michigan? Do I misrepresent that, John? Because I don't think I do.
No, absolutely. A while back, Brooks Patterson, the Oakland County executive, said that Oakland County is the economic engine that drives the state of Michigan. And I've always contended that the city of Troy is the fuel that makes the engine perform. We have over 6,000 businesses in the city of Troy. We're home to about 7 million square feet of retail space, 21 million square feet of office and engineering space, and about 16 million square feet of manufacturing space. And so we are really Michigan's premier address for businesses, retail, and commerce. We recently did an entire rewrite of our zoning ordinance. And I want to thank all the current members of the Planning Commission because they played a very important part in a pretty complex process. And that's something that a city only does about once every 40 or 50 years. And we did that, Tony, because we wanted to create an environment for investment in the community to retain and attract businesses while at the same time protect residential areas. And it's hugely important that we did that because, you know, the recession, of course, is still lingering, but all things are going to end, and that when this does finally end, we want to position ourselves to be the place to do business because our objective is to have about a 50-50 split in tax revenues between the residential sector and the commercial industrial retail sectors.
Well, it seems to me, and again, I'm not familiar, and it's nice to hear that you've done that, and it's great to hear that you're addressing something, being very proactive and actually looking at this in a very futuristic way, which is very encouraging, because, again, I'm concerned, and that which is why, again, John, we have you here today. I'm concerned that so much of the good work that's being done. I got involved with the city of Troy last summer when, and you'll remember the big library initiative that was going on. And hey, listen, that was
that.
You know, I was very proactive, part of democracy, worked beautifully, you know, and that the people, the citizens of Troy. Spoke, and of course it went the way I hoped it would. But, you know, again, democracy being what it is, you know, you don't always get the results you want. And again, at this critical time, John, and I believe that this is a critical time for the city of Troy, you know, you don't want every time you turn around, there's just one more negative piece of information that's attached to the city. John, can you stay with us a few more minutes? We have to take a quick break.
Sure.
All right, okay. We're going to take a very quick break. John Zerlag is with us. He's the city manager of the city of Troy. Let's take a very quick break here, and we'll get to a lot more on the other side. I'm Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift. Thank you for joining us this early Monday morning. We'll take the break and be back right after we do this on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
We're going to focus on the number one priority on Americans' minds right now, and that is creating jobs. If we have to drag the Republicans with us, then we'll do that.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're looking at some delays on 696 westbound between Mound and I-75. 75 southbound between Rochester Road and 8th Mile. And I-96 eastbound between Kensington Road all the way through Beck. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, mostly cloudy, a high near 36, a chance of a rain-snow mix later on this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a chance of rain in there as well. Steady temperatures in the mid-30s. Then tomorrow, it's a little bit warmer, actually, mostly cloudy, a chance of rain as well, a high near 47. Right now, it's fair and 18 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. You are connected to the internet. I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So, if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Recently on First Shift.
Let's welcome Will in Milford to the show. Will, thanks for punching in this morning. What's on your mind?
Hey, Tony, how you doing, man? I just wanted to let everybody know about your Facebook page and how great it is. I mean, you keep me abreast on stuff on the weekends and everything, and it's just a valuable page. If people haven't put a like on it yet, they need to, because there's a lot of good information. Keep everybody abreast.
First Shift with Tony Trujillo
on 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind.
Now,
here's First Shift and Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after the hour. I am Tony Trupiano. My guest is John Zerlach. John is the city manager of the city of Troy, Michigan. Many of you, of course, last week when we were detailing a letter that John had written responding to Mayor Janice Daniels, a letter of January 7th that she had read on record at the Troy City Council meeting, which was factually incorrect in a multitude of areas. And so John felt compelled to respond to that. John, that does it surprise you that your response has found its way to some national prominence? I've seen mentions of it on national blogs all over the country.
I found that very surprising. In fact, that one of my colleagues had forwarded me that portions of the letter were contained in the Florida National League of Cities magazine, or one of their newsletters.
Well, why did you feel like you needed to write that letter to her? And in fact, how did it go public?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that there's been a lot of negativity at the council chambers for the past several years, and that's because Troy is divided. There are some folks that want to take a national ideology, if you will, or ideology, and form that into local government decision-making. Sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't work. But Troy, for many years, has been a divisive community, and there's been a lot of negative things that were said that were inaccurate at the microphone. As manager, I would generally indicate at the end of the meeting or in response to those comments verbally what was wrong, what was being said. And it's one thing as manager to talk to a resident about mistakes that were made, but when there's inaccuracies that are espoused by a public official, it requires a more formal response. And so I felt compelled to write that response, I also believe that the comments that were made damaged my reputation. And for the record, wanted to have something that would be more solid than just a verbal response.
Well,
that's why I had done it. And yes, I'm surprised that I received comments on my communication from not across the United States, but from different states.
Have you found that I have, that they have been almost wholesale positive? In fact, I haven't, and again, I don't hang out on Tea Party websites, so that's probably why I, if I'm going to find anything negative, it would be there. But, you know, every single response that I saw, John, was very positive in the way that you not only approached the subject matter, but a wholesale appreciation for setting the record straight.
Virtually, I had an overwhelming positive response from the community, residents and businesses, as well as from my colleagues from other governments.
As
I think it's actually something that a manager or a department head needs to do. It's important. One of the functions of government is to educate the public, and oftentimes it's important to just, you know, not when someone slams you, not to actually make a slam back, because I really believe that hostility is a sign of weakness, but essentially to just set the record straight. It's important for the voting public and the businesses to know what the facts are in the matter. So if someone builds a false argument and then draws a conclusion, the conclusion itself becomes faulty because the underpinning rationale is faulty.
Well, again,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I learned in your response to Mayor Daniels' letter that she felt compelled to read so that she could have it on record, I learned a great deal about the city of Troy in your response, and I learned a great deal in a very positive way about some of the things that are happening there that, of course, I had no way of knowing were happening there, and I don't live there, so that would be part of it. I certainly know what's happening in the community I live in. But John, as I really took the time to... And I encourage my audience to sit down and read through this because I wanted people to understand that no matter where they, you know, where they stood on this issue, whether they, you know, believed or were more conservative in their leanings, that what the lesson to be learned here and what we really, at the end of the day find out is that there are an amazing amount of good things happening there. And that perhaps, you know, we need to take a deep breath and understand that there may be some of the newer members of council that just, you know, probably could have benefited from an orientation package of some kind. I don't know. They just didn't understand what they were doing or getting into when they were elected. And I, you know, appreciate the effort that you've made to correct that.
Well, that's a great idea, Tony. And I would encourage anyone to go visit our website at troymi.com. And we have many different venues on that website where we talk about our best practices that we've engaged in. We do have one of the lowest property tax rates in the area for being a full-service city. And we have a great staff. We also have a slew of best practices. But in terms of Troy itself, from a general perspective, you know, we are the largest city in Oakland County. We're the second largest city in the state of Michigan based on our property values, even with the property values dropping. We are at a great location. We are a highly educated community with over 50% of our population, adult population, obtaining a bachelor's degree or higher in 2008. And what I'm most proud of is that we are the second most diverse city in Michigan, second only to Ann Arbor, which is the most diverse. And that diversity and all-inclusiveness makes us a better municipality.
Well, you know, again, John, I just there's so much good happening there. I wanted to make sure that we, you know, now that this interview's happened, it's recorded, it's a part of permanent history. People can go to our podcast page, they can listen to what's happened. I just wanted people to understand that the city of Troy is a thriving metropolis that has got their stuff together. This isn't about a Tea Party minority bullying people around. That, you know, again, the city is thriving, that it will grow. And, you know, and I'm hoping, John, that we can finally, you know, put all this stuff behind us, that Mary Janice Daniels will, you know, again, maybe take some time and reassess, you know, her philosophy, or maybe be more deliberate in the way she decides to dialogue about certain issues. I would hope that she, I'm not confident, but I'm hoping that, that the, you know, especially the last, the 8 weeks or a little longer has shown her, you know, with thoughtful deliberation, and with having facts as opposed to opinions, some great things can happen. And so I appreciate the work that you're doing. And again, your institutional memory is critical to a thriving Troy. And so it is my hope that for that community that you're not going anywhere anytime soon.
Well, I want to thank you for your kind words, Tony. And the role of a consul, mayor consul, is essentially pretty simple. It's to have an authoritative allocation of community values. And I'm confident that the voters of Troy will elect people that represent their values, and we will move forward.
All right. Well, John, I want to again thank you for your time, and if there's anything the show can do for you, just know that we're here to help set the record straight.
Well, Tony, thanks so much for the interview, and have a great day.
All right, you too. John Zerlag again, the city manager of the city of Troy, Michigan. Wow. I hope you feel, I know I feel better. We'll come back and talk a little bit more about this interview, but I feel better about what's happening in Troy. We needed to have this discussion because you needed to understand that Mayor Janice Daniels does not represent the city of Troy beyond being ceremonial. She has one vote on a city council. That's it. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and chat more about this on the other side. Would love your thoughts. 888-552-3595. I am Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift. We will continue right after we do this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Gilmore, we're looking at some slippery travel on M53 between M59 and 23 Mile Road, so you will want to cut back on the speeds there. Southbound 35 between Rochester Road and 8 Mile, you're going to find some delays. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, mostly cloudy, a high near 36. Tonight, a chance of rain, mostly cloudy otherwise, steady temperatures in the mid-30s, and then tomorrow, highs in the mid to upper 40s, mostly cloudy, and a chance of rain in there as well. Right now, it's fair and 18 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. Board members with Hollywood's top unions, the Screen Actors Guild, and the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists will meet over the weekend to decide whether or not to approve a plan to merge the unions. This weekend's discussion follows last week's tentative pact by the Group for One Union. SAG and AFTRA members are expected to vote on the proposal in April. The merger promises to strengthen union membership, but not everyone thinks that bigger is better. In the interest of full disclosure, the employees of Workers Independent News are members of AFTRA. So we've asked freelancer and non-AFTRA member Leilani Albano to report on this story.
If passed, the merger would combine 70,000 journalists, broadcasters, disc jockeys, singers, and dancers from the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, or AFTRA, and 125,000 members of the Screen Actors Guild, or SAG, making it the largest entertainment union in Hollywood. SAG members are expected to ratify the merger agreement, ending a long-standing rift with AFTRA over differing bargaining strategies and philosophies. The union's efforts to unite reflect a growing consensus in Hollywood that a merger is needed in order to bargain with powerful media companies. SAG member Christian Mioli.
With the idea of SAG and AFTRA coming together as one, there is more of a sense that we will have a stronger representation against a powerful producer base, which is backed by multi-conglomerates who really could care less about the local actor.
The merger comes during a time of serious economic turmoil for SAG members. While unemployment rates among union members have always been unusually high, entertainment jobs have been harder to come by, thanks to the ailing economy and reality television taking over much of the airwaves. The unions could not be reached for an on-air comment. However, in a statement, the presidents of SAG and AFTRA said the merger is something to be proud of. But not all SAG members support the deal, including Alexis Kiley.
I really hope it does not go through.
She says it's unfair that AFTRA members are not required to meet the same stringent requirements as SAG members to become part of the union.
It's bombarding SAG with people who really don't take acting as serious as SAG members do.
According to the SAG website, the proposal includes a blueprint for a membership constitution, governing structure, and a dues plan for workers. Members from SAG and AFTRA are expected to vote on the merger plan sometime in April. For Workers Independent News, I'm Leilani Albano in Los Angeles.
For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift with Tony Triano.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after 7 o'clock. Just checking my Twitter feed, folks. That's what I'm doing. All right. I want to thank John Zerlag again from the city manager from the city of Troy, Michigan. I do want to clarify something. There was a conversation, an article in the Free Press a couple weeks ago that said that Mayor Janice Daniels had again made a gay slur. That she said that homosexuality was a mental illness. The Detroit Free Press did a Freedom of Information Act request to get the recording of that conversation that she had. They did receive it. What she had actually said was that the homosexual lifestyle was dangerous, not that it was a mental illness. So that was reported improperly, and we wanted to make sure we corrected that. Now, I'm still not comfortable with her, especially to high school kids, sending the message that their lifestyle is dangerous. Don't know what she bases that on, except for her own homophobia, but we'll let you decide that for itself. Jeff, I gotta tell you, you know, as we, I'm gonna guess at this point that you did go back and read everything that John Zerlag wrote to respond to Mayor Daniels' letter of January 7th. His response came on the 17th, I believe. But as you know, again, you read his very well researched, very well thought out, very well reasoned response to what she had written, that it's clear that this is a man who cares deeply about his city, that cares deeply about their future, and is doing everything in his power to make sure that, you know, that stays as strong and pristine as it possibly can. And I give him a lot of credit for, you know, coming on the show today. He didn't really know which way this interview was going to go. For coming on the show today, his willingness to stand up for the city and to, you know, call, you know, what is happening there for what it really is. I think it takes a little bit of courage to do that, although he certainly didn't defame anybody in any way. He made it clear that, you know, he's not comfortable with this council. And he said, you know, just a few minutes ago, that this has been, of all the councils he's had to deal with, this has been, he's been more tested by this council than any he's ever had to deal with. Man, on top of everything else he has to deal with, you know, does he really, you know, should he really have to be doing it? Well, whether he should or not, he does. And he's dealing with it, I'd say, quite admirably.
I would say that if I'm in the city of Troy, I take great reassurance knowing the words that he said and the way he described it perfectly for not only just the city of Troy, but for the political scene as a whole right now. He said, you know, I could fire back at everyone who comes at me, but he said, so that's a sign of weakness. Basically, you know, if someone says something wrong, I want to make sure the facts are out there. But he doesn't, you know, he's not going to be hostile towards anybody. He's going to be confident in his job, know that what he's doing matters and that he's doing it the right way. And it's not like he fired back and said things, you know, spitefully at anybody who's come at him. He's just being confident. I think that's, you know, a lot of people could learn a lesson from that. I was pretty reassured by, you know, the confidence in the way he was answering questions and not going at people, like you said.
Absolutely. No, I appreciate your assessment of that. And certainly, you know, and he said he's worked with three different municipalities, seven different mayors, 42 different city council people. This is not a person, this is not a man that doesn't understand the political landscape, doesn't understand where he belongs in that landscape, and isn't afraid, of course, to back up what he has to say with fact and with confidence. And you need that in a city manager. Again, he's running that city, you know, and that's the point that I wanted to make. And I wanted to, you know, certainly demonstrate to this audience was that the person that's running the city of Troy is someone that you can be proud of, that somebody that's intelligent, that somebody that shows true leadership, maybe even remarkable leadership experience or opportunity based on what he's had to deal with. And, you know, knowing full well that when it, you know, and he said when it came time to step up, when it came time to correct what needed to be corrected, you know, he felt the responsibility to do that as well-researched and as strong as he possibly could. I'm telling you, I am awfully proud of John Zerlag and what they've done in the city of Troy. And again, that they've been proactive. Jeff, he talked about the Planning Commission and, of course, to appropriately thank them for the heavy lifting they're doing in rearranging zoning, zoning laws so that they have a more business-friendly climate. You know, people forget that Troy, you know, just drive through Troy, the 75 Big Beaver area. You know, you drive through that area, Jeff, and there's nothing but, you know, there's the prominent businesses everywhere you turn. And a Troy address is still an important business address. He's doing everything he can to keep that as pristine as he possibly can, in spite of the ideology of somebody like Janice Daniels. God bless him for that.
Well, and talking about the transit center, too, that was something that kind of opened my ears a little bit, is that this has been going into plans for like 10 years. You know, they knew that this was going to happen. They were planning on it, trying to put it together, got the land. I mean, it's not something that you're just like, you know, the government comes, hey, you want some money? And then 2 days later, you're like, yeah, we'll take it, no problem. You know, I mean, this is something that was in the works for a long time. And then suddenly, you know, along comes a mayor who puts herself on the scene. And it's like, well, wait a minute, slow down. Like, do you not understand what's going on here? We've been planning on this for a while.
Well, and again, if you, you know, and if you have a chance, folks, go to Troy, was it TroyMI.com? I believe that's what that John told us. It's TroyMI.com. You know, you're going to find, and if you need the stuff that I read, all of the two letters, feel free to send me an email, and I'll be happy to forward to you both Mayor Daniels, although you can Google it, Mayor Daniels and John Zerlag's correspondence to and from each other, although hers was more in a general, it wasn't directly related to what he did. You know, it's clear that, you know, the transit center, again, a 10-year project, part of a larger scale plan that seemed to escape, you know, Janice Daniels' Tea Party mentality. And to me, Jeff, that's just nearsighted, because it absolutely aborts this idea that we're trying to grow an area of Southeast Michigan that is begging for growth. I mean, we're talking about a community that's growing. You know, he talked eloquently about, you know, their property values are higher than in almost any other community in the state of Michigan. Their education level is, you know, higher than most any other community in the state of Michigan. This is a community that continues to thrive. Why does it continue to thrive, Jeff? Because it's a great place to raise a family, because they are competitive, because they're not afraid to do the things that need to be done. Troy is a city that's lived on the edge because they've been creative, and they've been responsible, and they've been responsive. They're not sitting on the sidelines waiting for opportunity to come to them. Well, Jeff, who do you think's responsible for that progress? It's John Zerlag. It's the city manager and his team of people. It's not the mayor and the city council.
And that's the strangest part. I mean, me and Anthony were talking about it during the interview, thinking, hey, Troy, it is so funny that they would go through the whole thing about getting a mayor, and yet it's almost like a figurehead more than it is somebody who, I mean, I guess they have more control than just a figurehead, because she does vote, and the vote actually impacts, you know, things in the city, but for the most part, you know, she does what she does, but John's the steady hand that's guiding the ship.
Yeah, she is one vote among seven. Take everything else away, Jeff, and that's what she is. She's one vote among seven. That's all she is. She just happens to have the title of mayor because she ran for that position. It is very ceremonial. You know, she should be cutting ribbons. Listen, I met the most recent mayor of Troy this summer when I spoke at the Troy Democratic Club picnic. You'll remember that, right? I met the mayor there, who's retiring. Very nice woman. I chatted with her briefly. Very, very nice lady. Loved by everybody there. You know, she was very much, she couldn't take a position on the library issue because it was a nonpartisan issue. But she was very supportive to the people that were there. And there was, you know, I remember the rumblings there about this Tea Party group. You know, there are some saying that that this group that Janice Daniels is a part of they're saying that this Troy group was one of the founding members of the Tea Party in the country, Jeff. And so it would make sense because she's so naive. She only knows what she's been told. And I mean that in the most deliberate way I can mean it. She is told what to say and what to believe. These are not, I mean, she's not smart enough to come to these conclusions on her own. I assure you that is true. I assure you Janice Daniels doesn't know anything more than what she's told to know. And that information is fed by somebody at the national level, and they give her her talking points, and then she goes out and makes a fool of herself. Well, the good news is the people that are truly running the city of Troy aren't that ridiculous. Thank God. Thank God. And again, because Troy is so important to the economic engine of the state of Michigan, we need strong leadership there. John Zerlag and his staff are very capably leading Troy into the future. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And we don't need people like Janice Daniels to do anything. In fact, if she would just shut her mouth and just show up and collect her $110 or $116 a month, I think we'd all be a whole lot happier, especially the citizens of Troy. And even those that agree with her, I'll bet you, would love to see her replaced at this point. Because she is not doing anything to further their cause. She's making them look like fools. I mean, that's the bottom line. And Jeff, can you imagine being a Tea Party member and having that as your spokesperson?
No.
Okay. That's all I'm saying. It's time for change for the Tea Party. Fortunately for the city of Troy, they don't need to change anything. Except maybe to find or buy a muzzle for Mayor Janice Daniels. We're going to take a quick break here. Occupy Detroit. Occupy's First Shift on the other side of this break. Stay right where you're at. Lots to get to yet. We'll be back.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
Well, welcome Theo in Detroit.
Well, thank you, Tony. I want to tell you I appreciate the fact that you bring information that we might not otherwise hear anyplace else.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities.
If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift.
April DeBoer and Jane Rao join us now.
Again, Tony, the basis of everything came down to protecting our children and their rights. We, as Carol and Dana will tell you, we could draw up all the papers in the world to try to protect them. But in any, you know, an event, a judge could walk in and say, I don't really care about what their wishes were. The best interest of this child is to be with anybody else but this other parent. And the stark reality of that, you know, really hit home as our kids get bigger. You know, we really want to provide everything we can for them to ensure that, their rights are protected, and that if something were to happen to one of us, that they would be able to receive our Social Security benefit that married couple and their children are currently receiving.
First Shift with Tony Trivia
on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Occupy Detroit! Occupy Detroit! Occupy Detroit!
They're chanting. We're standing right in the middle of this rally, and they're saying that they're tired of corporate greed. They've had it.
Absolutely. I'm part of the 99% that sped up with the egregious behavior of the 1%. From now on, we occupy all streets.
The movement is resonating with cities across the country. It began as that Occupy Wall Street effort.
The movement to Occupy Wall Street coming to Detroit.
The world will not change unless the way we talk about it changes.
We can just get that message across. It'll hopefully start some change.
Dozens of UAW members showed up to support the protesters.
We're losing our homes. We're losing our jobs. Union workers are facing a terrible time at the bargaining table, and workers who don't have unions are even worse off.
Time for Occupy Detroit to Occupy First Shift. And it is that time, and we're happy to do it every single day. I want to just, before we get to our guest, address something that happened over the weekend. The Occupy Oakland, that would be Oakland, California, group got violent this past weekend, and the Occupy group there caused a great deal of damage to Oakland City Hall. They burned flags, and I do not endorse what the Oakland Occupy movement is doing. Listen, if you want to burn a flag, I guess respectively go out and do it. This is not what my idea of what the Occupy movement or the Occupy Wall Street movement is about. Certainly is not indicative of the Occupy Detroit group in any way, shape, and form. So although I do not endorse the Occupy Oakland events, I absolutely 100% endorse the work of Occupy Detroit, and I just want to reaffirm and reconfirm my commitment to helping the Occupy Detroit movement grow. As you have seen on the show, it's been done in a very responsible, proactive way, and I'm more than happy to allow give them the little bit of time we give them on a daily basis. And today is a great example of why we collectively need to do what we do. Joining me now is Joe McGuire with Occupy Detroit. And Joe, first of all, let me welcome you to the show and thank you for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
Well, you know, this is one of those stories, and I understand this is kind of breaking news. You had a family reach out to you, it's my understanding, yesterday that needs some help on a possible foreclosure.
Yeah, exactly. They have been foreclosed on, and they're a family. Bertha and William Garrett are the mother and father. They've been living in this home in northwest Detroit for 22 years, and it's really a story that could happen to any of us, and that's why it's so powerful. The father was a pillar of the community who owned two barber shops until he went blind from diabetes. Then he had two strokes. And for a while, their daughter was paying their mortgage, but she got laid off in the economic crisis, so they've fallen behind on their mortgage payments. And they've gotten foreclosed on by the Bank of New York Mellon Trust Company, whatever that is. And the foreclosure went through. The bank bought the house, the deed to the house at a sheriff sale for $12,000, despite the fact that the family had $12,000 in the bank, that it was more than willing to pay the bank just to be able to stay in the house. And it's just really important that we show that we're not going to tolerate this kind of behavior by the banks anymore, especially banks like this that receive so many millions of dollars in bailout money from our tax dollars. You know, it's one thing to go to a public park and protest corporate greed and bank corruption in general, but I think this is a great direction for the Occupy movement because it's taking it to the specific cases and maintaining that general message against the abuses of the 1%, against the 99%.
Well, you know, Joe, and I couldn't agree with everything you said more than I do. It seems to me, and again, I understand you folks are still vetting this, and there's a lot of information you still need to extract, and so I'm hoping that, you know, that we're able to follow up on this. What I'm really hoping is that we can keep these folks in their house. You know, you give that background. There's you know, there are always circumstances that lead to why people are at where they're at, Joe. And I think that's the part that kind of separates us from them, if you will. You know, at what point should what you told us matter? Well, there are some cold-hearted people. Okay, careful, Tony. There are some cold-hearted people that would say, hey, tough. I mean, you sign a contract. Contract says you have to do X, Y, and Z. You didn't do X, Y, and Z. Dude, I'm sorry. You lose your house. I'm sorry. You're in foreclosure. You know, time to move on. Find somewhere else to live. That's the way it's going to be. Well, go ahead, Joe. Go ahead.
Yeah, the problem with that kind of reasoning is that, I mean, first of all, these banks do not follow the rules themselves. These banks have committed fraud on a mass scale that the likes of which we're just starting to find out now, with the robo-signing scandal that came out last summer and all the other things we're learning about. And also, it's not good for anybody for this family to be kicked out of their home. Detroit doesn't need empty houses. We don't need more people without homes. It just doesn't make sense for anybody, even the banks. The banks are, you know, are not benefiting from kicking this family out of their home. It just is insanity. And so that's really what the issue I take with that kind of argument.
Absolutely. And I would take the, you know, the same set of issues. And, you know, again, at the end of the day, you know, who benefits? Even the bank doesn't benefit. They're not gonna find somebody to come into that house with the real estate glut we have going on right now. Let this family stay there. I mean, it makes no sense for them to force these folks out.
Absolutely. And so that's why we're going to the bank's offices today down in downtown Detroit. The address is 719 Griswold on the corner of Griswold and 4th Street. And we're going to be there at noon today to tell the banks that this makes no sense. It's the Bank of New York Mellon Trust Company. They have their offices on the 9th floor there. And we're going to send a delegation up there to demand that they let the Garretts, that's the family in this case, stay in their home, and to just let them know that we have a deal. Take the deal. It's for, you know, your benefit and ours. And if you don't take the deal, we're going to raise as big a stink as we can to let everybody know what you're doing to these people and what you're doing to the neighborhoods of Detroit. And then on Tuesday at 5 p.m., we're going to have a rally at the house of the Garretts. It's on 17795 Pearson Street in northwest Detroit. And I really would encourage everybody to come out there. We've done this before at Occupy Detroit, and it's been successful. And it's a good, you know, positive atmosphere. So 17795 Pearson Street in northwest Detroit. Tomorrow at 5 p.m., we'll have a rally in support of the Garretts. And we're trying to have people parked, and I'm currently staked out in front of their house because the eviction crew could come in any moment this week. They have the eviction order signed, so we want to know if the eviction crew comes so we can alert everybody to come and tell them to stop because this is madness. And so if you want to sign up for that, let us know. You can email us at peoplebeforebanks@gmail.com. If you want to sign up and help us, you know, watch the Garretts house, to make sure that they don't get evicted, because it's a horrible process. I mean, it's shocking what they do, because a lot of people just assume, you hear people say things like, oh, well, isn't it illegal for them to evict people in the wintertime? It actually isn't. And the way they do it is brutal. They park a giant dumpster in front of the house, and they just start go in, and they have a crew, and they start dumping all the stuff that's in the house into this dumpster. And it's, you know, we're trying to keep that from happening as long as we can, so we can get the bank to sign a deal.
Absolutely. And, Joe, it is that brutal. You had described it, unfortunately, perfectly, and that is exactly what happened. They don't care about how new your stuff is, how old your stuff is. It's done. Joe, we're out of time for today. Thank you so much for bringing this to our attention. We'll, of course, be following it, folks. You need to reach out to these people. All this stuff, by the way, available on the podcast. We do have to take a break for the top of the hour. Joe McGuire, again, thanks for your time. Mark Brewer and Christine Berry in the next hour. This is First Shift. Stay with us. This is 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're still looking at that accident, 696 eastbound at Bunner. Two left lanes are blocked there, causing some minor delays. Thankfully, it's on the eastbound side, not on the westbound side. 696 westbound between Mound and 75, you're going to find some delays there. I'll Ross with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, mostly cloudy, a high near 36, a chance of rain this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy, chance of rain continues. Temperature in the mid-30s, and then tomorrow, mostly cloudy, warming into the mid to upper 40s. Chance of rain once again. Right now, it's fair and 18 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift going up after the top of the hour.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter, and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW. Dearborn, Detroit. Now, time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Cheryl Castro. Republican presidential candidates are blitzing the state of Florida today, a day ahead of the primary. CNN's Bob Costantini joins us live from Washington. And Bob, it's been a very personal battle between the top two contenders.
That's for sure, Cheryl. Newt Gingrich trails Mitt Romney in Florida without the money to respond ad for ad to blistering attacks.
He can bury me for a very short amount of time with four or five or six times as much money, most of it raised on Wall Street.
Gingrich on Good Morning America saying, however, he'll prevail in the long run.
Truth beats the big lie.
Romney defends the ads, pointing out many House members from the mid-1990s Republican Revolution have abandoned Gingrich, their supposed leader then, in 2012.
That he worked with hundreds of people in Washington, and only a handful of those people are willing to support him.
Romney was on NBC's Today program. Cheryl?
Thanks, Bob. And dense smoke and fog still blanketing parts of I-75 in North Florida are blamed for chain reaction crashes that killed 10 people over the weekend. Driver Bert Thomas says he feels lucky to be alive.
I'm just very thankful. It's heart-wrenching to see, you know, how quick, you know, families can be devastated by something like that.
Officials in Pakistan say they haven't decided yet whether or not they'll pursue treason charges against a Pakistani doctor who allegedly helped the U.S. find Osama bin Laden. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta says the man did nothing wrong. The National Park Service plans to crack down today on what it calls sleeping activity at two camps set up by Occupy protesters in D.C. Sarah Shaw says she and other demonstrators will stay in the park.
The Park Service, who has jurisdiction over our park, says that we are allowed to be here under our First Amendment right to hold a 24-hour vigil. So they're allowing tents as long as there's no camping material.
About 400 occupiers were arrested yesterday in Oakland, California. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
What do we do before social media? Smoke signals? I mean, everybody's using it. Wouldn't it be great if you, small business owner, could get your best customers to share your message with all their friends? Now you can, with email marketing from Constant Contact. That's right, email. You send a Constant Contact email to your customers. It has a share button that lets them, well, share your message on social media. And suddenly, OMG, their friends become your next customers. This so beats smoke signals. Go to ConstantContact.com and sign up for a free 60-day trial today.
Your vehicle is one of your biggest investments. If you've come into some extra cash this tax season, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. From oil changes to major part replacements, O'Reilly Auto Parts has the parts you need in stock. Use this year's tax refund and avoid costly repairs down the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This week is big for reports on jobs, small business job creation, private sector job creation, layoff announcements, unemployment claims. all culminating with Friday's Labor Department job report for January. This week also is when Chrysler begins a blitz of job creation. Thousands of new positions over the next 3 years, starting with 1,600 new jobs at its Illinois plant where it will make the new Dodge Dart. Reports say the announcement will come Thursday. Today, European leaders have gathered for yet another summit meeting, the 17th in 2 years, at which it's expected they will announce creation of a new permanent bailout fund for the Eurozone. But European stock markets are down as much as 1% each anyway, on fading hope more aggressive measures would be taken to contain the continent's debt crisis. Falling also are U.S. stock futures. Right now, S&P futures down 8 points. NASDAQ futures losing 15, Dow futures down 71, losses of about 0.5%. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Looking for a better way to grow your business? A Regions Cash Core Analysis can help uncover ways to optimize your cash flow and improve your bottom line. It's all part of the better business banking experience we're building just for you. So, if you're ready for a bank with the insight and guidance to help grow your business, switch to Regions. Drop by a branch or visit regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
We wanted an impressive metaphor for the big deals at Office Max, like a huge... But times being what they are, marketing sent an elephant 9 inches tall, riding a unicycle. Supposedly, he's a symbol for our tiny prices, like a full case of X9 paper this week only for just $24.99, regularly $41.99. You save $17. Find all the big deals now at Office Max. But please, don't step on our elephant. Offer is Saturday, available in-store only. Limit 2.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had 3 extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not bad from Account Temps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Account Temps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Account Temps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
You?
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
We thought a giant gorilla was the perfect mascot for the big deals at Office Max. But the gorilla marketing sent us is the size of a hamster and is too scared to come down from our ink display. Well, he is about the size of the Duracell AA battery 10-pack you get free for buying $50 in national brand ink. Free batteries. That's a big deal. Our gorilla... Not so much. Find all the big deals now at Office Max. Offer ends Saturday. Excludes Epson and Office Max brand ink and ink refill.
Never let it be said that when good men and women were challenged, that they didn't rise to the challenges that were presented. And that when met with resistance, they knew enough to come together. In solidarity and with purpose and pride, they forged their way to a new understanding of what success would require. They not only met the challenge, they redefined community. And that community was called First Shift with Tony Triano.
And welcome, everybody. It is the 8 o'clock hour, 6 minutes after, to be more specific. Pleasure to be with you. We've had a pretty fast morning as these things go. That usually means a good show, and I'm happy to be with you this morning. I appreciate all of you being here as well. Wow, the 30th day of January already. Who would have thought? Well, we've got a lot to get to in this hour. Mark Brewer in just a moment, and then at 8:35, we'll visit with Christine Berry at Blogging for Michigan in our Blog Roll segment. So why don't we go ahead and get the intro out of the way and get things going.
The leading voice for the Democratic Party in Michigan, an architect of progressive victory.
This is really governed by press release. I'm trying to get as hard as possible for people to find out how to vote and actually get out and vote. They're doing everything they can to try to minimize turnout among people who tend to vote Democratic because they believe that that helps them maintain their grip on power.
It's time for Monday Mornings with Chairman Mark Brewer.
And it is time for the chairman himself, back from his UP trip, his Northern Michigan trip. And Mr. Chairman, welcome back. It's good to have you back on the show, Captain, my captain.
Great to be with you again, Tony.
How was your trip?
Oh, it was great. The UP Democrats, I can report, are fired up for the 212 elections. We had over a dozen meetings with local party leaders and activists, some of them the biggest meetings we've ever had. I talked to a lot of candidates, including our candidate for Congress up there, Gary McDowell, who's doing a fabulous job, a number of state House candidates. I talked to a lot of your colleagues in the press, helping to get the Democratic message out. A very, very productive week, Tony.
Well, you know, it's interesting because the first congressional district may be nationally, Mark, one of the certainly one of the races that that the Democratic National Committee and the DCCC is looking at right now as a seat to take back from the Republicans.
Absolutely, Tony. About 2 weeks ago, it was put on the so-called Red to Blue program, which are the top priority seats of the national party. And we'll be working with the National Party on that. Gary McDowell will report some very impressive fundraising numbers this week for the last quarter of last year. And as I traveled up there, people know who he is. They certainly know the terrible record of Congressman, Republican Congressman Benishek in terms of voting to end Social Security and Medicare as we know it and repeatedly voting against the interests of the district. Tony, I may have mentioned this to you on a show last fall. Last summer, Congressman Benishek said in a town hall setting that oil companies pay enough taxes already. So, you know, we shouldn't raise taxes on them. We shouldn't cut subsidies to them, even though they're making record profits. That's how out of touch this Republican member of Congress is up in the UP and northern Lower Peninsula.
Well, you know, again, there's going to be an exciting race. And I'm glad that the trip went well for you as I had every expectation that it would. Now, I think it's great, Mark, that you make the effort to get up there on an annual basis. Not that you only go up there once a year, because I happen to know that if you're needed, you're there. So if they call you, you go wherever you're needed. But it's nice that you spend you dedicate this 1 week on top of the other trips that you make to the Upper Peninsula or even to the upper part of the Lower Peninsula on a fairly regular basis. We don't forget that there are Democrats everywhere. In fact, I would suggest especially since Bart Stupak's retirement and what's happened the last 2 years, I would guess you've probably picked up some Democrats along the way, Mark.
Oh, yeah, Tony. It's amazing to talk to folks up there, you know, the grassroots activists, the leaders, in terms of folks who are, you know, really disaffected by what's happened the last couple of years. There are a lot of new faces at a number of the meetings that I went to, and just a lot of energy up there. And that area is going to be important to us Democrats, not just for the state house. I mean, there are three targeted state house districts in the Upper Peninsula, the congressional race. But President Obama, Senator Stabenow, our Supreme Court candidates, are going to need support from everywhere in the state. And that's why I tell people in some of those counties that they're very small, Tony, 5,000 people or fewer, I tell them every vote they get out is just as important as any other vote anywhere in the state, and they're going to share in the victory and the credit for victory come November.
Yeah, you know, and that may sound a little cliche-ish for people, Mark, but, you know, that every vote matters. And again, it may sound cliche-ish, but it is not a cliche. When we really break down, as I know the Michigan Democratic Party does with every election, you really break down these numbers and you look at where the support comes from and where we need to garner more support. And this idea that every vote matters is a very real concept. And so, getting up there and rattling the cages a little bit and getting people excited about the process. Well, you know, that's part of course, your charge, Mark, and I know you take that very seriously. But especially this year where, you know, especially for the president, where he's going to need the state of Michigan more than he ever has, Mark, which I would think, then we're going to transition here a little bit to the State of the Union. I'm going to think that's why Michigan was mentioned three times during the State of the Union address. The president has not forgotten how important Michigan is to his reelection.
No, not at all. It was great to see Michigan given such prominence in the State of the Union, and, of course, the president spending some time with us here last Friday talking about the importance of accessibility and affordability of higher education. And we're going to see a lot more visits from very prominent members of the administration, Tony, perhaps as soon as this week, and I'll just leave it there, that we're going to see a lot of high-level visits because Michigan is so important, because the president and his administration have done so much for us, and really the auto rescue, as important as it was just the tip of the iceberg. You know, we heard about it last week in terms of supporting alternative energy That was mentioned in the President's State of the Union speech. Obviously, education. The President's done a lot to push for affordability and accessibility in the area of higher education as well. So we're going to continue to be front and center in this presidential race as it unfolds toward November.
Well, since I have not had a chance to talk with you since the State of the Union address, I'd like your overall impressions of the State of the Union, Mark.
Well, I just thought Tony just did a great job, and I just contrast it to the terrible job we had here from Governor Snyder just a couple weeks before. We talk about bookends. You know, loads of substance. I think right on message in terms of the concern about economic fairness in this country, the concern about jobs and creating jobs, particularly in new high-tech alternative energy, while at the same time, you know, fighting to preserve manufacturing in this country, which has been neglected for a long, long time. So, no, I just thought very inspiring, very substantive, and really set the right tone for the rest of the year.
Well, you know, I've got to tell you, you know, we talk about expectations, as you and I did last Monday when we were talking about the state of the state, and, you know, certainly Governor Snyder didn't come close to meeting the low expectations I even had for his speech, where the President of the United States far surpassed my expectations, which were, frankly, quite high, you know, this past week. And so, yeah, you're right. The very much bookends. You know, interestingly, Mark, as we take a look at the governor's speech, you know, the best part of his speech, some said, was the reference of, you know, the toilet seat, the regulations of the toilet seat being left down, only to find out this morning in the paper that that's not even true. He made that up.
Well, I know it's sad that, you know, you get these kind of apocryphal legends, Tony, urban legends maybe, about things, and somehow, you know, they make their way into speeches. And this is not the first time it's happened either, to the embarrassment of the governor. I mean, he's very, for somebody who prides himself on being accountable and based on metrics, he can be very loose with the facts, let's just say.
Yeah.
He claimed a lot of credit, at least impliedly, for job creation in the state over the last year, when we know that he and his administration's policies had absolutely nothing to do with that. So I think he just needs to be more careful about those kinds of things as we go forward, and it behooves all of us to double-check the numbers, double-check the claims. You know, we heard these absurd claims last year that this, you know, $2 billion tax shift would create all these jobs, and, you know, we haven't seen them. We haven't seen them. Show us the studies. Show us the proof. It's just not there. We're seeing increasingly that, you know, this is just basically an ideological, a political agenda driven by the far right wing of the party, cloaked in, you know, the camouflage of we're going to create jobs and be responsive to folks, but in the end, not at all responsive.
Well, you know, and again, I don't even have as that much of a problem that he kind of fudged the facts on that, yeah, that funny little fact. What I do have a problem with is and you said it perfectly, Mark, this is a governor that prides himself on accountability. And if that's going to be the centerpiece of your leadership style, and that's all you've really got to hold on to, and something as simple as a fudged fact like that, you know, is going to get a lot of attention because it really does point out the lack of accountability, you know, even for a laugh line. You know, there are a lot of people who still don't have too much to laugh about, Mark. They can't find a job. Their unemployment has been taken away from them. There's means testing where there never was before. They can't feed their families, and yet the governor is going to go ahead and make a joke and then be, I don't know, wrong about it. Yeah, I can see where people might pick up on that and be a little angry.
Oh, no, it really goes to his credibility, and I think he's lost a lot of credibility over the last year. I mean, he said he would be bipartisan. He said he would be moderate. He said he would, you know, not leave anybody behind, and we see that he's failed dramatically in all three of those. Even if you look at his own dashboard, which we think is flawed in terms of the characteristics that it measures, even there, mixed progress at best, and we see that the dashboard isn't even kept up to date. Tony, not so good for somebody who claims he's a nerd.
That's for sure. You're right, Mark. Mark Brewer, my guest. We have to take a quick break here. Charles in Detroit, we will bring you into the conversation when we continue. We are up against the break. Let's take it now. First Shift. We'll continue with Mark Brewer right after this.
First First Shift with Tony Trubiano.
Richard, good morning to you. How you doing today?
Great, Tony. Wow, wonderful show, man. Since you've been on, it's been a breath of fresh air, I got to tell you.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're looking at some slowdowns on 696 westbound as you get close to I-75. Southbound 75 between Rochester Road down through 8 Mile. You'll find some delays in pockets there. I'm Ross with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, mostly cloudy, a high in the mid-30s, a chance of rain and snow a little bit later on today. Of course, tonight, mostly cloudy, steady temperature in the mid-30s, a chance of rain as well. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, again, a chance of rain, but a high in the mid to upper 40s. Right now, it's fair and 17 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift.
There are two laws currently in Congress that you need to know about. One of them is called the Protect IP Act, or PIPA, and the other one is the Stop Online Piracy Act, known as SOPA. They are companion bills. Assistant Professor Aaron Perzanowski at Wayne State Law School.
Under the Protect IP Act, here's what would happen if this bill becomes law. If a federal prosecutor alleges to a court that a foreign web page facilitates copyright or trademark infringement. Now, that might mean as little as a site that provides a link to infringing material elsewhere on the internet. A court can then order an internet service provider to prevent U.S. citizens from accessing that website. It required no court approval, no oversight at all, no neutral evaluation of the merits of these claims. These both would be disastrous bills.
First Shift with Tony on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
22 minutes after 8 o'clock, Mark Brewer, my guest. He is chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party. And you're going to find them on live online at MichiganDemocrats.com. I've got to tell you, folks, and I'm not saying it's because Mark's in there with me right now. I finally went and renewed my membership. I finally did it last week, Mark. I apologize for taking so long. For those of you that are either a little delayed or, you know, have been meaning to get your membership, again, you can do it for free. You can do it as little as $5, whatever level you want to do it. Please take the time to go get your membership either renewed or in as soon as possible so that we can recruit the army we need to fight the bad guys this fall. Welcome back, Mark.
Hey, Tony.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say it's particularly important to renew your membership in the next week to 10 days in order to be eligible to vote at our March 10th endorsement convention. So thank you for doing that, Tony, but I really strongly encourage your listeners to go online or get their membership renewed in the mail so they can vote with us in March.
Yeah, that's exactly why I've been meaning, and I just procrastinated, and so I'm just being honest with people. Yes, I procrastinate too, and I've corrected that. So, folks, follow my lead, please. Let's go to the phones and welcome Charles in Detroit to First Shift. Charles, thanks for staying on hold. You're on the line with Mark Brewer. What's on your mind today?
Good morning to you. Yeah, I hope to initiate a voter registration efforts too, but I want to say President Obama not only and his administration not only save the auto industry, which is economically extraordinary and importantly important in Michigan. But I did some research, and the stimulus or the ERA plan gave $7.8 billion to the state of Michigan at a point when we were in a one-state recession and the state government was in budget stress and crisis, financial crisis. And, they used some of that money to bail the state out. Further, I think that, you know, there's been this slandering of Obamacare, but I see messages on the internet, testimonies of individuals who are now starting to benefit from the effects of the plan coming into effect. And I think if we get people in Michigan who will do testimonies of how they're benefiting, that we can, win for support for the president and the Democrats based on Obamacare. So I hope those things will be considered. The bailout of the state of Michigan, which benefited many programs, education, all kinds, and many other things.
Well, Charles, I appreciate you. I appreciate you. Appreciate the call. I appreciate you paying attention. I'm going to ask that you do something that I'm going to ask everybody start doing. Let's start referring to Obamacare as the Affordable Health Care Act. That's what it is. And it is about affordable health care. And I really want people to start focusing on what it is. Not what it isn't. It isn't Obamacare. I don't even know what Obamacare means. I do know what Affordable Health Care Act means. Mark, with that said, I think Charles makes a good point. You know, sometimes, and I've had this a lot, people want the president to talk more about his successes. Even, Mark, I look at, and what I really look at is during the State of the Union address, you notice that the president was walking over his own applause lines. It's like he doesn't even want the applause. It's like, I got work to do, folks. Let's move forward. A lot of people are frustrated he doesn't talk more about his successes.
Yeah, no, your caller was very articulate and had a lot of good points, Tony. And a lot of times people forget just how important the president's initial jobs proposal was. I mean, it kept teachers and police and firefighters on the job here in Michigan. It contained a large middle class tax cut that benefited all of us. It contained an extension of unemployment benefits that benefited a lot of people in Michigan. So, again, there is a long record there, even in addition to, obviously, the auto rescue, the support for alternative energy, the support for us on Great Lakes issues. And I want to recruit your caller as a spokesperson for the Democratic Party. He was very articulate and right on.
Yeah, he's a great guy, and he's showed up at some of the things that I've been to, and he's the real deal, Mark Brewer. There's no question about that. Well, as we only have about 3 or 4 minutes left, we certainly do need to turn our attention to Florida, where a lot is going on. Tomorrow, of course, a big day for the primary. If we believe what the poll numbers are showing us out of Florida this morning, Mark, Mitt Romney seems to have a double-digit lead over Newt Gingrich heading in to tomorrow's primary. But again, and listening to the pundits for what that's worth, Newt Gingrich may be in this for the long haul. Let me get your take on all this.
Yeah, no, it does appear, based on the polls, that Romney is well-situated. I know the reports out of Florida indicate that there's still a lot of enthusiasm for Gingrich, and it doesn't appear that Romney is going to get anywhere near 50% of the vote. So he's still very much an unpopular person in his own party, you know, consistently getting well under 50% of the vote and losing two of the first four contests, as we now know. Gingrich stays in. We'll see what happens with Santorum. As one of the pundits observed yesterday, there's a real civil war going on inside the Republican Party. A lot of people still very uncomfortable with Romney And we learned a lot about him in just the last week to 10 days. You know, Cayman Islands and Bermuda bank accounts, paying a tax rate that's lower than his secretary. I mean, the more we learn about this guy, the more we see just how out of touch he is. And that is, it's hurting him even in the Republican primaries, Tony.
Well, you know, Mark, there's even been some conversation that Newt Gingrich is going to be in this, if for no other, stay in this for other reason than to defeat Mitt Romney, that he doesn't believe Mitt Romney's the right guy to serve the Republican Party and to lead this country. And if he needs to stay in this race only to help defeat him, you know, the moving forward after these primaries are over with, he's more than happy to do that. I'm not so sure I want to get in his way.
Well, we'll see, you know, how that all plays out. They got a real fight going on there. But obviously, Rick Santorum feels the same way, and he has a following. Ron Paul feels the same way, and he has a following. I mean, there's a majority, a substantial majority of the Republican Party, which is not ready to embrace Mitt Romney. And if they eventually do so, Tony, I think it'll be kind of grudging, you know, and he's going to have a lot of work to do to try to pull that party together. And I think a lot of those folks are going to be looking at, you know, a third party candidate, maybe staying home. There's a lot of problems inside that party, a lot of it caused by Romney himself. I mean, he's so inarticulate, he's so insensitive to the economic problems of this country, you know, making $10,000 bets, lamenting the fact that he only makes $375,000 on speeches. I mean, everything that comes out of his mouth just indicates how out of touch he is and what a bad candidate he will be for this economic era.
Mark, what do you make out of the report that the Romney campaign, including super PACs, is outspending the Gingrich campaign by 4-1, yet they're certainly not seeing that kind of return on their investment at the polls?
Oh, no. I mean, you know, again, this is, you know, we talked about this in the past, Tony. Citizens United has really been a benefit, certainly to Mitt Romney. It's also helping Newt Gingrich stay in this game. He wouldn't be in there but for Citizens United money. But I think, again, you can raise the money. You can be the candidate of the elites, which Romney clearly is. But that does not translate all the time into grassroots enthusiasm. And he is spending an enormous amount of money per vote, if you want to calculate it that way. Sure, he's winning. Sure, he's picking up delegates. But, boy, oh, boy, if you got to spend that kind of money to get votes out of Republicans, it says something about your prospects.
Yeah, not to mention the fact he's been running for the presidency for 6 years now. You'd think he'd be doing just a little bit better. Mark, we're just out of time for this morning. Obviously, never a lack of things to talk about. We'll look forward to visiting with you again next Monday.
Thank you, Tony. Catch up to you next week.
As always, absolutely. Mark Brewer, when we continue, Christine Berry with Blogging for Michigan. Our blog roll segment continues right here on First Shift on the other side of this break.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're still looking at some delays out there on the freeway. 686 westbound between DeQuinder and Southfield Road. Also on the launch southbound between 7 Mile down through the Davison. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, mostly cloudy, a chance of snow that will later turn to rain, a high in the mid-30s tonight, mostly cloudy, a steady temperature in the mid-30s, chance of rain as well, mostly cloudy tomorrow, a high near 47, and again, a chance of rain. Right now it's fair and 17 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit ufcw.org or call 248-585-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
The reality is Bob Pagano continues to show a pattern. After a while you begin to wonder, and listen, I didn't wish him ill from the beginning, but Bob Pagano has never been one of my top 10, you know, favorite electeds in Michigan. But I don't wish him ill, because that's like wishing the county ill. And I live in Wayne County and I live in Michigan, and you just don't want this stuff to happen.
First Shift with Tony Triano
on 1310 WDTW.
Already, four of the GOP presidential contenders have had to drop out. Michelle Bachmann, because she was too wacky. John Huntsman, because he was too sane. Herman Cain, because he was too exposed. And Rick Perry, because he was too dim-witted. But the greatest surprise is the sudden surge of the Adelson campaign. Little known until now, Adelson was the big winner in South Carolina, his way out front in Florida, and looks to have the political kick needed to go the distance. Ever heard of the Adelson campaign? It's the married duo of Sheldon and Miriam, neither of whom are actually on the ballot. Rather, they are running on the cash ticket. Sheldon Adelson, a Las Vegas-based global casino baron, has long been a major funder of far-right-wing causes. And he's Newt Gingrich's very special political pal. When Newt's presidential bid nearly flatlined after his electoral collapses in Iowa and New Hampshire, Sheldon rushed in with emergency CPR, cash-powered resuscitation. This one rich guy wrote a $5 million check to Gingrich's super PAC, which is named Winning Our Future. The PAC injected Sheldon's money directly into toxic attack ads against Mitt Romney in South Carolina's primary, jolting Newt's campaign back to life. However, Gingrich still lacked the financial vitality to match Romney's media buy in Florida's pricey primary. No worries, though. Miriam Adelson stepped in to infuse Winning Our Future with another $5 million jolt of CPR. The Gingrich campaign, you see, is a vessel for the Adelman campaign. And word is that this one power couple is preparing to spend another $10 million to make their boy the GOP nominee, with more to come if he's the one to run against President Obama. This is Jim Hightower saying, forget winning our future. The ultra-rich Adelsons are buying our future.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
Union. Solidarity. Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice. What's on your mind? 1-888-552-3595. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after the hour, and we're going to get to our guest here in just a second. You know, it's interesting. We talked with Mark Brewer about the national red state to blue state project. Well, statewide, you know, we're focused on red state to blue state as well. More specifically, Christine Berry from Blogging for Michigan is focused on red state to blue state success, and it's always about success. We need to flip so many seats between, you know, now and in November, and we need to do that very purposefully. And all we have to do is look at the failed policies that were forced upon us in the last year, a little over a year now, and we'll continue to explore why this is important as we work our way through the year. A good friend of mine, in fact, recently announced that he is going to be running for the state house in the 70th state house district. His name's Mike Huckleberry. Very well-known guy in that area, very successful restaurateur, former candidate for Congress, which is how I first met him. In fact, way back in the old days of my radio career, when in Greenville, Michigan, when when they were moving the was it GE? Who moved out of there? I'll remember. I did a remote from his restaurant. Just sad what they've done to that community. Anyway, Christine Berry joins us now for our weekly blog roll segment. And now I got all tizzied out because, frankly, we need to switch some seats. So let's go ahead and do the intro.
Leading the charge for online truth and a vision that transcends the minutia
and delivers information that impacts us all.
Welcome back to First Shift, this week's blog roll.
First of all, we just would love to have more progressive bloggers anyway, but local progressive bloggers are very important because there's so much happening at city council meetings and boards of commissioners, as the county clerks. I mean, these are people who impact almost every aspect of your life.
From Blogging for Michigan,
Christine Berry.
And Christine is with us. God bless you, my friend. Good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, my brother. How you doing?
Well, you know, you get me all wound up about red state to blue state, whether that's in our own communities, statewide, nationally. Yeah, it's just, man, we've got a lot to do between now and the end of the year. I don't know if you know Mike Huckleberry very well, Christine, but, you know, he's a real a real Democrat, a real progressive, the kind of guy that, you know, you'd be proud to put into the state house, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely. I really want to see him get back in there. I'm glad you brought him up because he is on my list of house races to watch. But his congressional campaign, that second time around, I think that he could have taken Dave Camp out. You know, he just needed a little more support. I think it would have been a small margin, but I think he could have done it. When I looked at the numbers, Dave Camp jumped in with these huge ad buys at the last minute, and Camp spent about $6.50 or $6.80 on each vote, and Huck had like 86 cents per vote. I mean, it was a competitive race, even with that disparity. So anyway, it's the kind of thing that gives you hope. You know, we got plenty of opportunity out there, and I love to see Huck coming back. He just announced on Saturday at his restaurant. I think it was Electrolux you were thinking of.
Electrolux, that's exactly what I was thinking of, and we spent a lot of time in that area when that was coming down, and of course there were so many people, including Huck, that were affected by that plant closing because that affected the business in his restaurant.
Yeah, it was a devastating move. Jennifer Granholm talks about it in her book as well, at everything she tried to do to keep them, and we just couldn't be competitive, you know, with the target location, the labor rates there. Like, we would have had to work for 27 cents a day or some crazy amount that, you know, no one in the U.S. can ever meet.
Absolutely. Well, Christine, as we take a look, you know, as we take a look at some of the other seats that we need to turn, and again, when you talk about a swing of seats, you talk about getting a majority because that's what we're talking about here. This is not an easy task, and there are some seats that there aren't even an announced or declared candidate. I'm from the Democratic Party yet. And the two that come to mind are the 64th and the 65th House districts, where they don't even have a Democrat declared yet in those seats. And you begin to wonder, are they not recruiting? Is there nobody? Have they abandoned those? Are they too red to turn back to blue? You know, there's a lot of that goes into that.
Yeah, and it's disappointing that we don't have candidates identified and declared out there yet. Both the 64th and the 65th are competitive. They've both gone to Democrats before. Of course, they're helped by Republicans. Now, 64th has Earl Pulaski is his name, and that's the district that has the city of Jackson and the surrounding areas like Concord, Hanover, Horton, Parma, that area. So the rural areas, you know, are a little bit harder for us. Republicans tend to do better in those areas. But the city of Jackson, if we get that to turn out, we make some inroads in those rural areas, I think we could do really well there. A pro-worker, a populist kind of candidate could do really well there, and we could take that district back. So, we need to get a strong candidate out there and start working on that district. We can take out Pulaski. That is totally a competitive and doable district for the Democrats.
Well, you know, when we talk about, you know, and again, it's always about GOTV, you know, and it's, you know, get out the vote. And I don't think people understand, you know, we were talking with Mark Brewer in the last segment, and I don't know if you were listening, Christine, about how every vote matters. Well, let's go back to 2010 for a minute when we saw this tidal wave of Republicans come in. The reason that happened is because Democrats didn't get out the vote. I mean, that's the bottom line, is Democrats didn't go vote. It wasn't like the Republicans had this massive tidal wave of voters show up. They didn't. Democrats didn't have their voters show up. That's why the Republicans won, Christine.
Oh, that's absolutely true. We had terrible turnout. I think we're going to benefit this time around because it's a presidential election again, and President Obama has a pretty good ground game. So I think that's going to give our local candidates a lift. But while we're talking about GOTV, let me also mention that we have to protect our vote. And I think that the county Democratic parties and the Democratic clubs and local bloggers were all going to be very important in terms of protecting our vote. We need to make sure that people get to the right precincts. They're not in any way turned away because they don't have that, their ID. You know, they can sign that affidavit. I've seen it time after time. People say you don't have an ID, you can't vote. That's simply not true. You know, So we need to protect our vote once we get it out there, too. But GOTV is totally the name of the game in this election, and especially in terms of these House races. We can take these. The 65th is another one, Eaton Rapids and the surrounding area, Leoni, Blackman, Waterloo, that area. It changed just a little bit, I think, which makes it slightly more Republican. But it is still completely competitive for us. So especially if, you know, we have a good ground game out there.
Well, again, people need to pay attention to what's going on. If you know people in those areas that would be good candidates, you need to go talk to them, and then you need to get them to, frankly, go register as a candidate, start raising money, and doing the work that needs to get done. And every day does count, Christine. I want to make that point that although it's, you know, we're at the end of January already, folks, the month flew by. Christine, imagine that, you know, we're already done with the first month of the year. I mean, where the hell did the time go?
I know, right? It's just flying by. It's going to be super busy this year with all of the elections that are going on and all of the issues, especially if right to work kicks in. We're all going to be just slammed. We need to get candidates out there now.
Well, let's also be mindful that we're talking about primaries, folks. This is about August, not about November. You know, we got to put this into perspective. You know, even if it's an uncontested race, that primary matters, because for a lot of people, that is a warm-up to your GOTV. It's kind of like your dress rehearsal to the November campaign. If you don't respect the primary process, that part of the process, you're really missing out on a key and critical part of doing this moving forward. So, you know, it's time to start recruiting those candidates. I mean, it's actually overtime. You should have been doing it already. You know, maybe the next time, Christine, you and I talk, which will be 2 weeks from now, we'll see how many seats don't have a declared, if we can figure that out, how many don't have a declared Democrat yet running. I don't care, even if it's a screamingly red seat. No seat should go unchallenged, that's for sure.
Well, definitely. I mean, we should have a candidate in every district out there doing their best, because even if, like you said, it's going to be a tough seat for that candidate, you know, that candidate can still give everyone else a lift through their efforts. So, you know, we have some pretty important seats to protect. Senator Stabenow's up, and just, you know, all across every level of the ballot. We just need to protect what we've got and make some inroads and get that House back.
Well, we're going to have to take a break here in just a little over a minute. But before we do that, I want to tell you the series that you did on Dan Kildee last week was absolutely kick-ass. I thoroughly enjoyed it. You know, I learned a lot about him. I could tell that you really enjoyed meeting him, that this guy's the real deal.
Yeah, I really did. I was really very pleased, and I felt so good about the things he was telling me. I was like, here's somebody who gets it, who gets me, who can speak for me, you know. So it was great. It was very encouraging for me.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, it was really a great, and it's still up at Blogging for Michigan. So if you go to bloggingformichigan.com, the entire series is there. Check it out. It was really well done. When we come back with Christine Berry, we're going to talk about the national race. Talk about red to blue. This is the biggie. This is the big prize. What happens in Florida tomorrow? What are the implications of that? Does it matter? Doesn't it matter? Christine has an opinion on everything, frankly. So we'll get to that in just a minute. And the 83 County Project, we'll also talk about that. We're going to talk about that every week with Christine or with Chris Savage. I'm Tony Trupiano. This is Blog Roll on First Shift. Stay with us. We'll continue after this.
First Shift with Tony
Trupiano. Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 was to get those of you who say this.
Don't come to me if you do. You're on your own, Jack.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have that peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me, State Senator Bert Johnson.
How we want to do this is very simple. The state of Michigan taxpayers give away every year $35 billion, with a B, dollars to corporations in tax breaks and tax credits. We want to take a look from an accountability standpoint at every single one of those dollars. One of the biggest things the governor said last year was that he wanted to manage and look at and be accountable to every citizen for all of these tax credits. We know that there are many loopholes that can be closed. We want to take a mere 10% of those dollars back. That would be $3.5 billion. That would be enough, Tony, to cover the bill to send every high school grad, I don't care if you went to private or public or homeschool, if you graduated, we want to send every high school grad to college with a full $9,500 grant that would be enough to cover every dollar of tuition at any of our 15 public universities and our junior colleges.
First Shift with Tony Trujillo on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women who put in a hard day's work every day. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
10 minutes before the top of the hour, Christine Berry, blogging for Michigan, also, .com, and ChristineBerry.com, that's B-A-R-R-Y. Let's couple the three things I want to get to, Christine. First of all, the 83 county project. Have you had more people sign up?
Yes, we have. We've had a few more people sign up. We're trying to get them caught up on what we've done so far and make a plan on how we can get everybody into a secure area where we can talk freely amongst ourselves and not really worry about anybody giving away their identities and so on. So internally, the project is moving forward. And I'm hoping to get some of these people activated and get them rolling on either their own blogs or on BFM pretty soon.
All right. So, folks,
if you're, stuff.
Absolutely. If you're interested in blogging, reach out to Christine. She'll be, you can go right to bloggingformichigan.com. All the information's there. Check it out. Number two, presidential politics, as important as anything we've talked about, the big primary tomorrow. In Florida, you know, I don't think tomorrow is the end game for anything, Christine, to be honest with you. Gingrich doesn't look like he's going to win in Florida. I don't think it matters. I think he's going to hang around a while.
I love it. I love it. Just keep these guys talking and going after each other. Every time something happens, looking at the polls that I look at, President Obama just looks better and better, and he goes up in the polls, and Romney and Gingrich go down. So I hope that it lasts all season long. So, you know, I mean, look, as recently as November, you know, the polls had Mitt Romney over President Obama by like 5. And now President Obama is over Mitt Romney by 8. He's over Gingrich by 13. I mean, this is 2, 3, 4 times the margin of error. So, you know, I hope it keeps going. Let them keep attacking each other.
And, not only is it 2, 3, 4 times the margin of error, he's overcome what was a 6-point decline to come up. So that's a 14-point swing, which is huge.
Yeah, exactly. I think he's going to do well here. Mitt Romney will be a little bit more of a challenge to him here in Michigan, but I still think that you know, we are ground zero for the auto industry turnaround that, you know, he was the one who really spearheaded that and took care of us and saved us, I think. I mean, that's how I look at it. He basically saved Michigan with that auto industry bailout, if you will. So I think he'll take Michigan, and I'm really looking forward to, again, to seeing his ground game out here and to this campaign and just destroying those Republicans.
Absolutely. And it's going to heat up. February 28th is the Michigan primary. Don't worry about the Democratic caucus yet. There's a reason I'm not even talking about it. Worry about February 28th right now. And, Christine, before we let you go today, you know, this evening at 9 o'clock might be, depending on your cable outlet, might want to spend a little bit of time with ex-Governor Granholm.
Very exciting. She is premiering The War Room tonight on Current TV, 9 p.m. So, and I think tonight she's got Elizabeth Warren. I'm not sure about that, but I think that's who's on tonight, where she's going to be talking about presidential politics and the campaigns for 2012, and I'm very, very happy for her. So,
well, I am too. I really thought that maybe MSNBC might grab her, but it's okay. You know, although the problem is a lot of people don't have Current TV on their cable outlet, unfortunately. So, if you don't get her, check it out online. I mean, there's always ways to find this stuff. We're happy for her, and we hope that she, of course, does extremely well, because this is important. She's a hometown gal. We want her to do well.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And I think she will. You know, she's so great with people. I think it's going to be a very comfortable set for her and her guests. So,
I would think so as
very
well.
Very exciting.
Well, again, I will be DVRing it, because the wimpy guy that I am, I go to bed too early to stay up too late.
Right, right.
Hey, you know, it is what it is. So I'll check it out first thing in the morning. Christine Berry, as always, I appreciate you being with us. Again, if people want to check out what's going on with the 83 County Project or just want to read the blog, go to bloggingformichigan.com. They can also go to christineberry.com, B-A-R-R-Y. And we'll look forward to visiting with you again in 2 weeks, and then Chris Savage next week. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Tony.
Ah, my pleasure. Christine Berry once again. Just a great, great segment. If you're interested in blogging, by the way, this don't ignore the 83 County Project. And what they're looking for are 83 people to blog in every county. And in some counties, there will be more than one blogger. Check it out. Try to do that. Jeff, I've gotten a really handsome response, if you will, to the Troy City Manager being on the show this morning at 7 o'clock.
I think good.
People are very very happy to hear that things are in good hands there. So I'm
I was
happy.
Glad to have him come on, and I thought the interview went really well.
Were you surprised that they so readily agreed to be on the show?
Maybe a little bit, but maybe not, though. I mean, it's important that people that they wanted to get the message out about, you know, hey, Troy has been in the news lately, but we're doing, you know, we're working to get things to progress, and they've been. I mean, Troy is there's negative stuff out there about Troy, but it's heading in the right direction regardless. So.
I mean, I wasn't privy to your conversations with them, but you know, I know sometimes, especially when there's a lot of negativity surrounding something. You know, sometimes people go, well, you know, maybe we don't want to do it, or we would rather not talk about something. And you didn't come to me with any of those restrictions. You didn't say they didn't want to mention this, or they would rather you didn't say that. So I'm assuming that, obviously, he had to be pleased with the interview, because I don't know that it gets more positive than I gave it, but it happens to be how I feel. But they didn't know that going in, is my point. And so they didn't put any conditions on this interview, which I appreciated as well.
No, not, I mean, they wanted to know what we were going to talk about and make sure. I think they were concerned but didn't have restrictions. They just wanted to make sure it wasn't going to be a TMZ kind of thing. And I'm like, well, you know, it's not our show at all. We're just, you know, we're about getting the facts out, and that's what he wanted to do, so it was a perfect fit.
Yeah, and then this really was about getting the facts out. Again, if I lived in Troy and Janice Daniels is my mayor, I'm going to want the facts out, especially when the facts, of course, support what we hope they support. And in this case, they did. I mean, we heard from John nothing but positive things about what's happening at the city level and how the city is really being run and who really is in charge. And heavy sigh, thank God, right? Absolutely. Absolutely. So anyway, that's about it. That's about it for today anyway. I do want to let you folks know that before we let you go today, that we are still. What was I going to say? I just blanked. It happens. You know what? I'm getting old. It just happens. I have no idea what I was going to just say right there.
We're still podcasting all our segments on the TonyShow.org?
No, that's not what I was going to say. Sweet God, no. No, that's, in fact, I just said that when I recorded my promo. So, no, that's exactly not what I was going to say.
That we still put a lot of things on Facebook, so like us today and tell your friends?
Okay, well, sure, we'll go with that.
That
although
we tweet
I am
constantly.
Pleased, I am pleased that we picked up 10 likes last week.
I think it was all on Friday. We haven't mentioned that more.
It was. So, well, yeah, like us on Facebook. Anyway, I'm sure that as soon as I'm done with the show, I'll remember exactly what I wanted to say, so I'll say it tomorrow.
Or you can put it on Facebook later today.
And don't forget to like us while you're there.
Or tweet it.
Or tweet it. There you go. All right, that'll do it for us. Anthony and Jeff, thank you so much. This has been an amazing audience. I want to thank all of you. Off the air, Tony at thetonyshow.org. And as always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're still going to have some minor delays out there northbound 275 as you get close to I-696. 96 eastbound between Kent Lake Road and Beck. You're going to find some delays there as well. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, a chance of snow mixing in with rain a little bit later on today. Mostly cloudy, a high in the mid-30s. Tonight, mostly cloudy still. Chance of rain, of course. Temperature steady in the mid-30s. And then tomorrow, mostly cloudy. Temperature reaching the mid to upper 40s, but a chance of rain in there too. Right now it's fair and 17 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today. Tweet, tweet, tweet.